The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and issue number 143. And John, we still haven't settled it yet. What is the title of the show? Are we going to go back and forth?
No, not all robots.
Really?
Yeah. I'm too weak and hungry to fight you, DJ. I'm just going to give in.
Oh, man. All right. Why are we going? All right. We were going back and forth. Actually, yeah. You know what? We're not going to. Why are we going to tell everybody what happened?
Well, that's true. You teaser. Have to listen to find out.
Yeah, I had a different image up, and I had to switch it because, John, I mean, I was going to give it to you.
Oh, you were going to give in to me
because you're too weak and hungry? I was going to give it to you, the big battle.
Man. I shouldn't have let you go. I should have let you go first.
I thought you were going to throw it back to me and be like, no, DJ, how about you pick the title this week? And you didn't. So
I didn't.
I don't know. I mean, they're both great books. Our checkout this week was, we had a lot to say about both books, other books, lots to check out and check out this week. Obviously, Suicide Squad as well. We open with spoiler free and we close with tons of spoilers in Kryptonite.
Yeah.
We enjoyed the movie, but check out why, check out where it's going. Oh man, there's so much to check out this week. What else did we do? Lots of books, like breaking news, huge breaking news out of DC.
Yeah.
Huge breaking news. If they don't know what this is yet, you got to check out. We wrap up our breaking news.
It rocked the comic book world.
Yeah. I mean, like I said.
I don't think I'm overstating it at all.
Exactly. Honestly. If you don't know what we're talking about, well, you're going to have to find out in breaking news. Yeah. So let's get them into the store so they can find out what's breaking.
Yep.
What enthusiasm.
Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
There we go. All right. Let's get into the store, and we'll get in it, and I'll have a great conversation with Mr. Enthusiastic over there. Johnny AC, I'm loving it in here in Arkham Comics and Games. It's so comfortable.
It is, because it's only like 9,000 degrees outside.
Is it real? It's 9,000 down there?
Oh, yeah.
We haven't gotten the heat yet this week, but today I had a busy day at work. I was outside, and when the sun broke through with the humidity, it's just gross. Like, everything's just gross. So it's nice to be comfortable sitting in here in the AC, John. You've provided me quite the atmosphere, my friend.
I know. When I got in the car to come home, it was like the worst day so far. It was so miserable. I was all the way home almost before my car cooled down.
Yeah. Well, do you still have that black, the Corolla? Is that what you're driving?
It's dark blue, but it's a dark car. With a dark interior. Yeah, like, I could only touch the steering wheel with my fingertips until I got like halfway home.
Yeah. That's
my next car will be because if I get a white car, it'll be cooler, but then I have to wash it. And I'm not big on washing my car.
Yeah. Well, white cars actually hide the dirt very well, believe it or not.
Well, actually, my car looks disgusting, so it doesn't hold, it doesn't hide the dirt very well at all. But
nope.
Like, I'm super clean everywhere in my life except for my car. Like, I just don't give, like, one rat's ass about my car. Sorry.
Oh, really?
Language. Yeah, I just don't care. Yeah, it's like,
we'll be talking about rat's asses like, a little later.
I don't want roaches running around in my car or anything, but, like, I'm just not a big, like, clean my car guy. Like, my house is spotless, but my car is kind of nasty.
My car has to be spotless. I work out of mine, so
I
live in the thing out of my truck anyways.
I'm actually kind of glad that you told me last week that you're not sure if you're coming down now, because I was actually going to have to take my car and get it detailed.
Because I was going to see it?
Wait, because you were going to be in it, and it's like I didn't want anybody to be in the car.
No, when we do get down there, we're renting the 4-door this time. I'm getting okay. What did we have last time? I always get them mixed up. The Charger and Challenger, and we had the 2-door
Charger. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, but we had the 2-door, and so this time we're definitely getting the 4-door, getting the big boy with the 4 doors and the big engine, and have some fun. We took that bad boy off road though. on our way back.
Not on purpose.
Well, it wasn't an accident. I purposely drove it off the road. It's not like I was like, oh, where are we? No, there was traffic. What do you do in this traffic? Go around.
Yep.
It's like you can't go there. Why not? It's a rental.
I have insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I told Lady. You know, when we were going back to our trip to Mexico, that we didn't really elaborate on a whole lot. But we had the rental car with full coverage. So I was like, go over here, do this. Like I said, you do whatever you want.
Just hit them.
I just like beat the hell out of this thing because I'm paying for it twice. So.
One of the things that got dropped last week is I love listening back to this podcast. And what I find when I listen back to this podcast is I didn't really hear it the first time. And I publicly apologized last week, but it is kind of fun. I mean, it's not like I'm just sitting here vegging out. I'm doing stuff on the other side. But it was a couple of weeks ago. I'm listening, and you made a joke. And I apologize if people have heard this, but because I don't think it got recorded.
No, this didn't make it to the show. Yeah, so nobody heard it.
But you made it. You made the joke about Hawkeye and Miss Marvel dropping at 11:59 at midnight or whatever, and on December 31st. And I just sat there. I didn't say anything. And that's an ongoing joke. That's something that I should be picking up on. It's something that we're always joking about. It's kind of like it's either, 4 months or 24 months, whatever, our little running jokes, right? Well, I'm sitting there, I'm dying laughing, listen back to it, because it's like the only thing missing from it was crickets. And you're just sitting there like, okay. And then you just kept going on.
Yeah. Moving on. It's the equivalent of like high fiving and just hanging, So
yeah.
Eventually you just put your hand down and you keep walking. So
right. Like, well, and everybody gets left hanging. Like you've seen the video, Tom Brady, and he's going up and down the sidelines. He's got his hand in the air. And nobody's high fiving him. Like, how are you not high fiving Tom Brady? Like,
the
guy probably gives more autographs after the game on the field than any other player in the league. And he can't get a high five from his teammates.
From his team.
That was left off last week. And the other big news last week, and I do like to revisit this one because this is gadgets, guys, tough. Fun stuff like this. You got a new generator.
I did.
And this is a legit bad boy. This is awesome.
It's the big deal. Yeah. Right now it's still just a giant paperweight because it's not doing anything, but eventually it'll get hooked up. It's still not hooked up. I just kind of had to call and go
a
little
pissed if you lose power.
Well, I had to call and go a little nuts on the install company right before we started here, because I've been waiting like a week. Well, tomorrow will be 2 weeks since the install. I've been waiting for them to tell me that the gas line has been inspected so that I can call the gas company and upgrade my meter, which needs to be done before they'll turn it on. And like, I'm waiting and waiting and calling and nobody's calling me back. And it's like, 10, 11 days now. So I finally called them up. I was like, first of all, I said, you guys aren't getting a penny out of me until this thing is working because I'm not paying you for something that's just sitting there. But it was kind of, So anyways, we got the next step working now. So hopefully by the end of next week, it'll be turned on. But if I lose power like tomorrow, I'm not going to be a happy camper.
No. I'll probably hear you up here with no phone needed.
You might. But we got the big 22,000.
Yeah, the 20,000, like the thing will run your whole house. And it's automatic, right? It just switches.
Yes, and it's automatic switch. So yeah, it's the Generac. Awesome. Like I said, it's the Cadillac of the generators and way overkill, like I mentioned last week. It's kind of like the price of a small car. And it's definitely very expensive thing that I will use maybe once a year, maybe not even. But
you know, it's just that. It's the peace of mind.
But it's just those times, right? Yeah. Like those 3 days when you're out of power and it's working, 5 years from now, I'm not going to care how much I spent because I'm going to be super happy that it's working and I have power when all my neighbors are like – it's going to be like the zombie, like the Walking Dead. Everybody's going to be standing outside my window like knocking and scratching at my window, and I'm going to be like, you know, watching TV and –
Yeah.
So, and on those days, I'll be super happy that I spent all that money on the generator.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it, you know, like I said, it was probably a little overkill. You and I talked, and there was obviously much less expensive options. But you know, I want what I want. I'm just that guy. Hey, you know,
it's I like want when I get something
in my head. Yeah, when I get it in my head, it's just like,
right?
Okay, yes, I could probably do this for $1,500, but I'm going to do it for $15,000 instead. You know,
so, hey, what's another? Yeah, I mean,
what's another 10 times the cost?
The money.
You know,
it's like exactly. So. Oh wow! So that's awesome. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you,
I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I have to actually go out, turn mine on, flip some switches, and then I can relax.
Well, and that's the thing, because it never fails that the gas runs out at like 3 a.m. and you got to get up and go put more gas in it.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I just don't want to be dealing with any of that. So
I ran mine for 7 days straight, and we ran the neighborhood. Like I told you, we ran the neighborhood through here, and everybody at the time, nobody had generators, and it took 2 more outages, and now like the whole neighborhood has them.
I also want, you know, we don't have the biggest house anymore. You know, we don't have as big a house as we used to, but I also just wanted it to be the place. Like, you know, if there's a storm, if there's something, like, this is the place that people can come.
Yeah,
you know,
family,
my kids can come, my mom can come, whoever needs to come, even if we need to just, you know, if we're just lined up on the floor in blankets or whatever. Yeah. But it's just the one place that everybody can come to.
You'll be charging admission. I know you.
But exactly. I will be. Once I get over like 12 head count, then I'm charging for food and water. So
right.
But, you know, like I said, we want it to be that place where everybody could come. So for me, it's worth it. Like I said, it's an extravagance for sure, but it's worth it to me. So
we've spent our money on worse things.
Oh, I have, yes. Many times over. So.
Many times over, exactly.
Yeah.
So, all right, are we ready to get to some comic book stuff? Let's get well, first off, we've got to get to the, you know, what we're really going to talk about here, and that is Suicide Squad.
It is.
Spoiler-free. Spoiler-free to start. We're going to wrap the show up with Kryptonite with the spoiler talk, but The Suicide Squad.
Not to be confused with Suicide Squad. The movie of the almost same name by David Ayer from 5 years ago.
Right. So
with half of the same cast.
Well, yeah.
Maybe a third of the same cast.
No spoilers, but yeah.
No spoilers.
What did you think?
I loved it.
You did?
I did.
You loved it more than obviously you liked the other one?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was super fun. It, you know, we'll get into it later. Like you said, it has the issues. Like, it's not perfect by any means, but I just really had a great time watching it. I thought it was super fun. So
now I forget what you thought of the first one.
I mean, it was fair, I guess. Like, I definitely didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was great either.
So we don't typically do a bunch of rankings around here as like 1 through 10, but if where these two movies, what would you give? How would you rank them each 1 through 10? Like the Suicide Squad,
the newest one, seven or eight. Yeah, 7.5-ish maybe, and maybe like a 4 to 5 on the first one.
Okay. I'm a little closer to what's funny is when I was first done watching The Suicide Squad, I was like, I don't know. I got to watch the other one again. And then I did, because I thought they were pretty close. And I'm going to give it a six. I'm going to give Suicide Squad, the first one, I'm going to give that a six because I do enjoy it. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to do about the same for this one, The Suicide Squad, about a seven
so
and
about
a half.
Six.
Oh, a little bit higher. Okay. A little bit higher.
Okay. You just think they're a little bit closer.
I just think they're a little bit closer. I don't, and we'll get into it in spoilers. I got a little something like a, you know, a little something we could talk about too, but I thought The Suicide Squad, I thought the story was pretty good. One thing I will say in going through, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, is I thought the character development was slightly better.
Yeah.
You felt more for the characters in this one than you did in the first one.
You did. And I just found myself laughing out loud a lot.
Yes.
Like, I just had a good time. Like, again, it's got problems. You know, like, it's far from a perfect movie, and it is not Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
It's just not that good. But it just was fun. Like I said, I just had a good time with it, so... I haven't watched the other one in a while. I didn't go back and rewatch it, but just from my memory, that's kind of where I would place it.
Yeah, I didn't watch the extended version. I have that. I have the extended. I have the theatrical. I have it in 4K. Right. I just watched the theatrical version, and I thought that was fun as well. I mean, I get what people are saying. And then, I mean, there was a difference. There was a moment there where I was like, is the first one maybe a little better? I don't know. And then I watched the first one again and I was like, all right, there's some things that I do like better about The Suicide Squad. But
I just felt like you mentioned, I felt like I cared a lot more about most of the characters in this one than I did the first time around. So,
and that's what was really evident to me watching the first one again and being like, this just doesn't, I'm like, I'm having a good time. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed the movie. It was talking about the first one, that is. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Why? I don't get it. They didn't really do much to advance anything. And I do get the plot holes of the first one. Not plot holes, but the issues where it is kind of weird. Like, why is the Joker even in that story? Why is this?
Right.
So there... There was just so much more that could have been delivered in that one. So that kind of leaves you with, this is weird. So that's what,
right.
But by the end of the movie, I had fun. There was some laughs in that one. There was some good action. There was some things went boom. I had a good time with it. But I think that The Suicide Squad actually has a more cohesive story from beginning to end and good character development. And makes you actually, you know, by the end of it, you're feeling for certain people. You want things to work out the certain way. And we'll get more into all of that in spoilers, but lots to talk about there. But I thought it was really good. Now, did you see it at home and the theater or just?
I only saw it at home, actually. I did not go to the theaters to watch it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to go. But, you know, it opened Thursday night here, of course, but we had plans already to go out to dinner Friday night, and then we were going out Sunday for my daughter's birthday, and I was like, you know, I just don't want to go out again.
Right.
Spend money on dinner, spend money on the movie, and then, you know, we're going to dinner Friday, we're going to dinner Sunday. So I was like, you know, let's just stay home and watch it. And, you know, again, I cranked it up to reference level and had Lydia sit through it, and we watched it. And it was, you know.
I like how you had her sit through it. Like,
that. Well, because it was a little bit louder than she would have preferred. But,
right.
But I wanted to get, I was like, if we're staying home, I at least want to get the,
fullest
experience that I can get from home. So.
Right.
And I was able to pause it somewhere in the middle and get up and go pee, so that that helped too. So.
Oh, they don't do that for you at your local Cineplex?
They don't, no. I'm trying.
Don't they know who you are?
That's what I say too. It's like, I'm the comic store guy, man.
Right, I'm right over there. You can't miss
me. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, Yeah, I've kind of, this is sad to say, John, but this, I'm done. I'm done going
to the theaters.
Did
you watch it at
home? Yep. I didn't go to the theater. I didn't want to go to the theater because after my Black Widow experience, I'm like, I had like a come to Jesus moment. Like the only reason I'm going to the theater, the only thing the theaters can offer me is the fun of being in a big crowd watching a movie. And when you go to the theater, like, there's nobody there. I'm like, it's like being in my house.
Yeah, there weren't big crowds for this. Unfortunately, it didn't do well theatrically, which we can talk about more later too. And obviously HBO Max had something to do with that. But yeah, I was hearing, you know, people talking about going on opening night with, you know, like, you know, four or five people in the theater. So yeah, I mean, you can get four people in your theater at home.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm like, I could make mine packed like that and just be like, wee, throw popcorn in the air and have fun.
Exactly.
If I'm just going to sit in a room relatively by myself, I might as well do it with better picture and sound than what my local place is. And I'm like, I just really, and for me to get even close to what I have in my room, I have to drive an hour into Boston and go to, like, you know, Dolby Cinema. And I'm like, why would I do? And then again, it's a drive. It's more money. It's, and you're still not going to have a ton of people.
I do the Dolby Cinemas when we go out. And like I said, we mentioned it at Black Widow. Like, I can't quite replicate what I'll get in the theater in my house. You know, it's not quite as good. Like, your setup is definitely better than mine.
It's a dedicated room. Yours is literally a living room. And yours is fantastic for a living room.
But it's just the sound doesn't resonate the same as it does for you.
Right.
You know, I don't have, you know, I've got a 75-inch screen as opposed to 110. So I can't get quite the same, but it was, I mean, it's still pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So. It's not like you're just watching it on your TV through the speakers. So, I mean, it is a big difference in what – that's the thing. It's like, I mean, I feel bad for the – I do. I still feel bad for the theaters, but they got to bring something. And in a way, is it possible that we're doing a favor to the theaters by not going? Because now the studios aren't getting that money, and eventually they will cut off the outlet for us, and you'll have to go back to the theaters?
There was a news story that I saw that I didn't actually add to the news, but apparently Warner Brothers and AMC struck a new bargain starting next year where they're going to have 45-day release windows between streaming and theatrical release. So they're actually going to go back. Now, that's less than it used to be, but it's more than it is now. So
It's a month and a half. Month and
so
a half.
So 45 days exclusive 30, they're giving.
3 months.
They're giving the theaters. Now, that's just Warner Brothers and AMC, so it's not speaking for all the studios in chains. But, you know, kind of where one goes, the rest seem to follow. So I think, although again, who knows, we're on Delta, Epsilon, whatever variant we're on now. So even next year may not be back to normal, but I think 2022 they're targeting, you know, being back to strictly theatrical releases and stuff. And so then we'll have to go, you know.
Well, I think we are, honestly, I think we're over the hump with the virus, because even if, I mean, they keep saying like, we've got to do this, or it's never, no, they all go away eventually. We get to herd immunity, whether you vaccine up or not or whatever, because eventually everybody's either had it or not had it. So they all go away. They survive it one more. The human race survives it, whether you do or not. That's your personal choice and up to you and all that. But eventually you come back on the other side and everybody's either had it or is vaccinated or whatever. It's going to happen. So I don't know. I mean,
Yeah. But like I said, hopefully going into 2022, which is, you know, just 4 months from now, it's not even that far away. You know, we'll be back to.
I sent you that.
I think even this, like Dune, I believe, which comes out in November, has been taken off of the HBO Max release schedule, and it's going to be now purely theatrical.
That's awesome.
So, Yeah. So I think that's the step in the right. Well, it's a step in the direction of getting us back into the theaters again.
Right.
Because honestly, if they kept things going the way they're going now, I'm kind of with you. Like, I might not.
Why would I go back? I mean, I would go back if everything, all of a sudden, like if they did this and then all of a sudden, I mean, people want to go back, but we have to get over all this stuff. And, you know, it's going to take a little while, like you said. But I would go back because I do like those crowds. I like watching a movie on opening night with a bunch, with a packed theater. You know, that's fun.
It is.
But this stuff.
Yeah, because people get up and they cheer. Like the, you know, you see the Endgame reaction videos online and, you know, that stuff is fun, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, when you're sitting in a theater and you're the only one standing and clapping, then you know, you can do that at home.
I mean, it just, I remember Hudson Hawk. That's what it was like. And nobody, I'm like, come on, everybody.
Nobody else stood up.
Where is everybody? Come on. all right. On that note, are you ready to get to some news now?
Yeah.
All right. So, John, what's the buzz in Ogden? John, what's the buzz in Arkham Comics and Games?
I still feel like I'm getting a haircut.
That's not what you said last week.
Well, I'm getting manscaped. Yeah.
Do you want to go back? Do you want to go back to this?
I don't know. I still think I like the first one better, but I just am always going to feel like I'm getting a buzz. Brings me back to boot camp, man.
Yeah. there ain't going to be no bayonet fight.
That's right. I got bullets in my gun.
Wait, whoa. All right, let's start again. Cause
I think we've told that joke on here before. But
it's worth repeating. I love that joke. John comes back from boot camp and he's telling me about going over fighting with a bayonet on the end of your gun. And so they're showing him, and John's acting it all out, and he does everything. And then he goes, all right, and if you have a little trouble, whatever, the guy, the instructor's
if the
like,
knife is stuck or whatever and you can't pull it out, fire off a round.
It'll come right out.
And John, then it'll come right out.
John goes, whoa, I got rounds? If I got rounds, there ain't going to be no bayonet fight. Did you have to like do like a crap load of push-ups or something?
I did a lot of push-ups. Yeah, I did a lot of push-ups.
But that a little bit of Irish sarcasm didn't do you well.
A little bit.
Day.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, that was so great.
But, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense. You got to, you know, you got to keep things light, you know.
Yeah.
I guess if I'm in the, like back then, there wasn't like a Walking Dead or anything. So I guess if I was in the zombie apocalypse and I had to conserve my bullets, I'd do more bayonet fighting. But back in 1988, we weren't thinking about the zombies.
No. So. That was funny. I love that story. All right. Back to the breaking news.
Yeah. So the big news the big news in the comic book world this week is, of course, Saturday is Free Comic Book Day. So it was moved from May, which is the traditional date. It's always the first Saturday in May. This year it got pushed to August for reasons. And so depending on where you are and where you're listening to this, there will be different levels of participation from stores in Free Comic Book Day, because I'm already seeing stores that are canceling or significantly changing the way they're doing things. As of now, my Free Comic Book Day is scheduled to go ahead as planned. So again, depending on where you are, check with your local store. But you know, there's a pretty good lineup of books this year, and we're going to push forward, and hopefully your store will do the same, or at least give you an option to get the books that you want somehow.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. So that's too bad.
Hopefully it'll be fun. You know, like I said, I don't know what kind of crowds to expect. This is traditionally the biggest day of the year for almost every store.
Right.
It's like, you know, it's like the Black Friday or the day before Christmas or whatever. This is a big shopping day.
You think you're going to have a good turnout?
I don't know. I don't know how
Well, how's your store on a Wednesday? Because you would think that, like, I mean, if people are coming out to your stores now, hopefully.
I mean, sales have been up, you know. Sales have been strong the last several months. You know, my July and June for this year were higher than they've ever been since I've been open. Almost like November, December sales numbers. So things have been strong and people are in the store. So, you know, I'm optimistic that it will be a good day.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm still even debating on how I'm, you know, what my layout is going to be and if I'm going to try to, you know, social distance people somehow. My store has never been one of those stores where I have, you know, 100 people lined up outside for 2 hours
right.
to get anything, you know. I'll open with 15, 20 people waiting outside, and then people just steadily stream in throughout the day. But I don't have lines where I have to try to keep people, you know, 6 feet apart or anything like that. So shouldn't be as hard for me as it will be for some of the big, you know, really bigger stores. But
right.
Even still, I may limit how many people are back there if it gets to that point. I'm just going to have to play it by ear, you know, and see how it goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, hopefully the thing
but
I was
like I
thinking,
said, all I can say is call your store, you know, call your local stores wherever you mm-hmm. may be and see, you know, and see what they're doing for the day. But you know, either way should be fun. Try to get out there if you can.
Yeah.
And, the PSA for the store owners and, you know, it's a little self-serving because I am one of them. Just bear in mind that Free Comic Book Day means free to you. It's not free to us. We still buy these books. So if you can see your way to drop in $4 or $5 in the store or more while you're there,
right?
It's definitely appreciated because, like I said, we pay between hundreds and thousands, depending on how big your store is, to get these free books into the store to give away. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that's the idea: get people in and buy more. So hopefully, yeah. You know, but it's worth being said. All right,
yeah, well. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Because I'll never say it in my store, but I have no problem saying it here on the podcast.
Right, because you're talking to people that are going to be going to all the other stores, and they can use the help. So.
Right.
So, all right, moving right along.
Yeah, so this, piggybacks good. Off of something we talked about last week, actually. And yeah. You sent me a message, I think, Thursday.
Yeah, about Zach this. Sent that to me. One of our listeners sent it.
And I saw an article later on. But Disney Plus has officially renewed The Bad Batch for season 2. So that's great news. First half of the season finale aired this past week. And pretty good episode. You know, obviously looking forward to next Friday or –
Friday.
Tomorrow, 2 days from now, to get the season finale. So be looking for that to come back next year. And
I tweeted out, we have a heck of a week. We have.
We do. We have
obviously
Titans.
Today we have What If dropping.
We have then What If. We have Titans.
Titans season 3 dropping on Thursday. And then Bad Batch season finale on Friday. I'm like, that's.
Yeah.
Fun week.
It's a lot. Yeah.
We're going to have a heck of a show next week.
We are. Heck of a show.
A heck of a show.
The heck you say.
Yeah. So, but yeah, season 2 for Bad Batch. I actually feel like the more I think about that and talking with Zach as well on Instagram, I feel like I'm surprised they haven't said like season 2 and 3. Because don't you even feel like the weight of this season, the amount of stuff that's been exposed, like, I don't even think they're going to finish this in 2 seasons. I think that Bad Batch could go like 4 or 5 seasons.
Well, and it's probably their hope, right? Just like Clone Wars. Clone Wars was actually more finite because you knew eventually you were going to get to episode, you know, Revenge of the Sith, right?
Because of the characters,
Because of the characters. But with Bad Batch, there's really no end in sight.
Right.
So I think their hope is that they can go 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons and keep telling stories. And I hope they do. Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it before. Going into this show, it's not like I was dying for the Bad Batch, you know, but these characters are growing on me, and I kind of like where they're what they're doing. So
yeah,
I'm in. I'm all in for it.
It's just fun having a little Star Wars saga going
every
on
week,
every
yeah.
week, and it's yep. I gotta miss it next week, to be honest. I am. And there were weeks that I forgot it existed.
I know.
All right, let's move on to this coming up in December.
Yeah, so Netflix has given us their release month for Cobra Kai Season 4, which is December. And it feels like that was like – wasn't Season 3 just the beginning of this year? So
yeah, remember it dropped early on January like 1 or something. It was supposed
to be
the
6th. Right, so we're going to get Season 3 and 4 in the same calendar year.
Yeah.
Which feels pretty quick. But hey, I love Cobra Kai, so I'm all for it. But we also get The Witcher in December from Netflix. So,
so good.
Quite a few things coming in December as well on Netflix. So
the thing about Cobra Kai, I kind of wish this dropped again on January 1.
Yeah.
Because maybe it'll be December 31st. That would be pretty
maybe
cool.
Maybe at 11:59 p.m.
See, I made up for the last time.
See, you did.
No.
Because, if I remember right, you and I both binged all of season three on New Year's Day, right?
New Year's Day, yeah. We had a blast with it. And I was like, I actually finished it before you. You had a couple hours
before I did.
Yeah, and I was... And that's unusual.
Because we have to stop and pee between every episode, not like, you know. I was going to say we're older than you and Jen, but we're really not. We're just...
not really, yeah. No.
Yeah. I'm not in as good a shape bladder-wise, I guess.
I haven't talked to you since I had a hockey game last week, and we played against... Most of the guys on my team are 40s to 50 years old. There's a couple... Right. Like, Joe's the goalie, so he's 24. We have another guy that's in his 30s and stuff, but we were playing against this really young team, and you know how young they were? They thought they were making fun of us. They called, "What are you, like 40?
Yeah.
We all went, good.
I wish. To be 40 again.
I know. I'm like, you're getting your butts kicked by people you thought were old at 40.
I thought you were going to say they didn't have to stop between periods to go to the bathroom.
No, but they called us 40 thinking that was old.
That's an insult.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Gotta go.
Yeah. Really? You think I look 40?
I appreciate that. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah. So. All right. Listen, next one. More Netflix news.
Yeah. More Netflix news. So Netflix has an Addams Family spinoff called Wednesday in the works, and they have cast their Gomez and Morticia Addams. Luis Guzman and Catherine Zeta-Jones, respectively.
Crazy.
So that's Luis cool. Guzman is a bit of a stretch, even though I like him. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But Catherine Zeta-Jones I can see as Morticia pretty easily. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No word on who Wednesday is going to be, who will actually, I guess, be the center of the show. But
nope.
But yeah, I was never – I don't know about you.
No.
I was never a big Addams Family guy. I was like the Munsters guy. And, you know, they talk about that on the Ralph Report that we listened to. It's like you were kind of either one or the other growing up.
I was neither. And
I was always – well, I was always a Munsters guy. I liked the Munsters. Wasn't a big Addams Family guy. But I did see the movie with Raul Julia, you know, a few years ago or whatever, and it was fine. So I'll definitely check this out.
Yeah, I wasn't big into either of them. I mean, I know their songs. I know, you know, I did watch them. I just never really got into it and paid attention to it. Like, I have no idea. And I'll watch the series probably because it'll be like, oh, let's see how it is. And you and I will talk about it. But I don't know. If the first couple aren't good, I don't have high hopes that you and I are going to follow through on it.
We may not. I may not, because I'm not super invested in the Addams Family.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't hook me early on, I may not stick with it. But I like the cast so far. Like I said, I like Luis Guzman a lot. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's always good in everything. So,
I'm
at least excited for that.
All right, and last, this is big.
The news that shook the comic book world this week, DJ.
Wow.
I felt it to the very foundations of the comic
of
book
Arkham
world.
Comics and Games?
Of Arkham Comics and Games, yes.
Yeah. I thought I heard the AC stutter.
It did, yeah. I don't have a generator there, so.
No.
Yeah, James Tynion is calling it quits at DC Comics. He has moving to a new platform called Substack, yeah, which I'm not super familiar with, although I'm guessing it's a digital, digital-only comic book company platform. Yeah. And he is going there to focus on his creator-owned works. So what that means for DC, obviously, is the end of his run on Batman and the Joker. There was no word of Nice House on the Lake. Maybe it's intended to be finished by then. I'm not sure. He's staying on until November with Batman and the Joker. But I thought Nice House on the Lake was ongoing, so I'm not sure. And there was also no mention of his other stuff, like Something is Killing the Children or Department of Truth for Image. But it seems like he is going to be exclusive with Substack. So I would imagine those things.
This is new to Substack, too.
Yeah, Substack, it's new to Substack.
And I guess it's something from what I've read is they're going to email comics. You subscribe to them, and then they'll email you the comics. And it's
James Tynion said he was offered the biggest contract he was ever offered to stay on Batman for 3 more years, and then Substack came along and offered him an even bigger contract than that. So,
really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know what kind of money they offered him and where Substack is even getting that much money, but it seems like they're going after big talent.
Well, what I'm not 100% sure what Substack is.
Like, I'm not
what
either,
they were until now, but they have been around.
Right.
So apparently they're just getting into comics and they're diversifying, and I don't know.
I'm wondering how many other big checks they're going to throw out there to, like, a Donny Cates or, you know, Brian Michael Bendis or some of these other big names.
They have Scott Snyder. I just Googled it. Saladin Ahmed and Molly Knox Ostertag. Okay. That's three names right here.
Now, Scott Snyder exclusive, though, or?
I don't know.
I don't know. Because, again, Scott Snyder
has also signed up, and then those three names. So
Snyder does a lot of work for DC, and he also has his own creator-owned stuff over there at Image. So this could be a big deal for comics, and not in a great direction for brick-and-mortar stores, because – This is completely circumventing that.
They also avenue, are trying to expand into podcasts and the launch of a new podcast network last month.
Yeah,
I do remember seeing that.
Stay in your lane, Substack.
I think everybody's trying to get into the digital world because everything is just going that way. It's so much cheaper. You know, you just provide a platform, and then, I mean, it's just. You don't have to print the stuff. You don't have.
It's great for Tynion and his wallet, it's great for him on a personal level. It's not great, I don't think, for brick and mortar stores.
No, not at all.
Because, like I said, these are purely digital stories that will not be available in comic book stores, and so. Bringing these big names over there and taking them out of the world of comics is a little worrisome, but we'll see. Like, there's been cries of the downfall of comics for years, and it hasn't happened yet. But these big name guys going to digital only platforms is not a good deal.
Have you seen the details of the contract? How long it's for?
And, no, like, nothing.
Hopefully, it's well. If the DC one was for 3 years,
right?
I got to imagine this is somewhere in that ballpark.
Somewhere in that ballpark,
so he'll get
too.
His money,
unless
and
they're
maybe
not
he'll
successful, you know. Like I said, maybe they don't survive. Like maybe it doesn't work.
If it's a contract, he's got to get his money, so it might put them out of business. Well, he'll just come back to comics.
You're right. He will. That's what I'm saying. He
that's
will.
What's cool.
Yeah. He'll be free of his contract if they go away. But there's no guarantee that this is going to be a successful model. But, you know, bringing these big name guys on is a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's funny that, like, I mean, I love, what is it? Tynan?
And I say Tynan. I'm not
Tynan. Yeah. Positive, it's
James. Not Sienkiewicz.
We'll call him James. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, he goes, he said, it's an opportunity to, build a bunch of really cool stuff on my own terms. Right. And with all of his stuff.
But Image gives him that as well.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. I'm like, what is he doing that isn't on his terms? Right. I mean, he has changed Batman. I mean, obviously you're coming off of Tom King. So right. His spin on Batman compared to Tom King is like, you know, yin and yang. And it really worked. You know, people love it. It's, I mean, it's very colorful. It's great stories, very dramatic stories, a lot of action.
He's got a lot of cool new characters in, too.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's what I mean. It's like, what has he done? What's gone on at Batman that it seems like those were his ideas? And then right. You go over and he's, you know, the house one there.
Yeah, the nice house on the
lake. Nice house on the lake. Is that somebody else's idea and they told him to do it? Or is that one of his original ideas and DC was like, okay, yeah, perfect. Yeah. I mean, because we said when we read that,
right,
it was like, that should be an Image. That didn't feel like a DC book, right? It
feels like he's on his own terms already.
Anywhere he wants to go.
Right.
So I just think it's what I always think it's cool and I think it's kind of refreshing when the artist, athlete, or whatever just goes, they paid me the most.
Right, right. I just went, just I followed the money. Right, exactly. Because that's what they all do anyway.
It's like, right. We all believe that. Like, I mean, it's like if somebody offers you a boatload of money and it's a boatload more than the boatload they're giving the other place, you'd be like, bye bye. I mean, it's right. Money. It's where, that's why they're there. So, but with the boatload of money comes expectations, you know? So let's see what right. happens at Substack. I mean, he's a great writer. I have no doubt he'll have
great. He is a great stories. Writer, but it's whether people are going to
follow,
adopt that format or not.
Right.
You know, if they're going to adopt the digital comics in their mailbox format and, you know, and go from there. So,
well, from what I understand, it hasn't really worked very well for like the
it didn't really work well for Comixology. Yeah, they're still around, but it, you know, they haven't made the dent that everybody thought they were going to make, you know, and then you have Marvel Unlimited and DC Unlimited.
Cuz people still want their physical.
Right. Digital comics have been around for a while, but people still want their physical books. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the type of thing where I might not see most of these stories because I don't know if I'm willing to pay full price for these books, you know?
Right.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll have to see what kind of buzz they get and how good they seem. But
yeah. Well, the other one I was going to say is kind of like it's just it's analogous is Spotify signing Rogan. And they're like, look, we bring Rogan in, give him $100 million, blah, blah, blah. And it really, from what everything I'm understanding, is it didn't work out. They're not
right.
It didn't attract all the listeners over that they thought they would. And it's like it's great for Rogan. Gets his money.
Yeah, Rogan, but, right. It's great for him either way. But
right. So hopefully it works out for, you know, Tynan. We get I'll definitely check it out. I don't really have a store that I'm loyal to right now. I mean, hopefully, you know, friendly neighborhood.
I mean, I bounce around someday, myself, but you know, I have one that I kind of like. So
yeah, well, all right. Is that
I'm kind of invested in at least one local store, but
yeah, but the guy's a dink.
He is. He is, and that's kind of why, you know, I'm up in the air a little bit. But
oh man, all right. Is that all we got there?
That was a lot. That was slow news.
Slow, but we
talked a lot about a small amount of stories.
Right. It is the bright side chat, John.
Yes. So
we are allowed to do that. All right. Are you ready to spend some money?
Always.
All right. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
Batman Urban Legends number 6.
Nice.
Tim Drake Robin comes out as bisexual in this issue, and it is now all over the media. So prices haven't shifted a whole lot yet, but you just never know what people are going to spec on, you know.
Yeah.
This may be a thing, and it may just not be. You know, there's no telling. So, like I said, it's still selling right around cover price. And then the variant cover, the Ijacor cover that we talked about a few weeks ago with Black Canary on the cover, is just a great cover. And so that may see a little bit of interest extra just for the cover itself. But definitely one to pick up on. And, you know, this was hinted at last issue. So I don't think this comes as a big surprise to anybody that's been reading this series. But, you know, like I said, you just never know what's gonna be a thing. So
I think you just wanted to talk about that cover again.
Oh, I did, yes, because I enjoyed that cover. Because,
yeah, you like the rings.
Yes. Fishnets.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. For no particular reason at all, the Black Cat Annual number 1 second print is selling for $10 plus. Couldn't tell you why, but...
I actually had to really search for it. Some people had it cropped. It was weird, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're so inclined, go pick up one of those. I think it's like $6.99 cover price. So,
yeah, if I'm looking at it right, I think it is. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, Canto 3, The Lionhearted, issue number 2, has a 1-in-10 variant that's selling for a double ratio at about $20.
All right.
Captain Marvel 31. This is another one of those In-Hyuk Lee AA. P-I-H, A-A-I-P-H, whatever.
Yeah.
Not whatever, like I'm being dismissive. I just don't remember.
Right.
I've got to be careful. I don't want to get canceled. but the In-Hyuk Lee variant cover is another strong cover and is doing pretty well in sales.
Yeah.
And then, like I mentioned last week, the 1 in 50 Virgin variant for this is selling for double ratio at $100. So we called it here. We called it here on the Bright Side Chat.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I saw that in the notes week, and I was like.
If you didn't get it this week, don't say I didn't tell you last week.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. The Defenders issue number 1. There's a whole bunch of covers here. The Peach Momoko open to order cover is selling pretty quickly. The George Perez 1-in-25 variant is seeing sales just over ratio, so right around $25. But the big winner is the Momoko 1-in-50 variant. That one's selling for between $75 and $100.
Yep.
So okay, next we have I Am Batman issue number 0. There's a 1-in-25 variant that's selling pretty steadily between $40 and $50. It looks like it is trending back downward slightly, so be careful if you spend, you know, if you're in the market for this.
Well, it's trending down because Mr. McPhee saw it and said it needed a little more contrast.
Yeah.
It's too gray.
It is very gray.
We need more contrast in that black and white pencil drawing.
Very gray. Nice House on the Lake, issue number 1, third printing. There's a 1-in-25 variant for this that's very hot, selling for between $60 and $100.
Tilting my again, head to see it.
Yeah, well, and once you're getting into the third printings, the number of stores that are ordering 25 and up copies start to shrink a little bit.
Yeah.
So these are just not as readily available as the first prints would be. Next we have Star Wars High Republic number 8. This is the first appearance of Comac Vitus and Veith Silas. So those
rolls
two
right
guys,
off your tongue, doesn't it?
Those two guys and or gals show up here, and so there's a 1-in-25 variant for this that's selling for between $35 and $40.
All right.
Depending on these characters, even the main open to order covers could see some movement.
Yep.
Okay. Also Star Wars, High Republic, Adventures, Monster Temple Peak, issue number one. This is the first appearance of Ty Yorick. Lots of sales on these, but pretty much selling just at cover price. But as they're starting to dry up a little bit, the prices will start to climb a little bit. So if you want one of these, go out and grab one. And then last but not least, we have White issue number two. There is at least one copy that has been sold in the $50 range, whether that's an outlier or legit sale or who knows. Either way, there will be people looking for this. Again, due to the forced scarcity, because once again, they allocated this thing out to stores, just like the first issue. So it's scarce for no reason, because it was done after FOC when they had, you know, they knew how many orders they had. But that's it for Speculator Roundup.
Alrighty, and that brings us to Back Issue Bonus. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Here we go.
All right. This is a book we've talked about before, Infinite Crisis number 5. This is the first appearance of the Jaime Reyes Blue Beetle, selling for now between $50 and $60 and is back in the spotlight due to the HBO Max casting that we spoke about last week. There is a George Perez variant cover for this that is only selling for about $20, though. So it's definitely the A cover here that people seem to be more interested in.
I'm not sure which one I have here for the picture.
I'm not either.
Because on back issue, I know, but on back issue bonus, I usually just grab, because we're usually not talking variants, I usually just grab the first cover I can find. But
yeah.
But it has a picture of Jaime on it.
Yeah, it's on the cover. I believe that's that's the A cover, I believe.
Yeah.
All right, next we have Spider-Man Unlimited, number one from 1993. This is the first appearance of Shriek. Shriek showed up in the Venom 2 trailer, so you know the deal. Whenever that happens, this is now selling for between $15 and $25 and could see prices climbing as we get closer to the movie, which has also been delayed. We didn't talk about it in the news either. But
what's that?
It looks like they pushed the release of this movie a little bit too.
Which one? Spider-Man or Venom?
Venom. Yeah, Venom 2. Yeah.
When? I didn't see that.
I know. I saw that. I saw something about it yesterday.
No. Oh, hang on.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, while you're doing that, I'm going to move on. Mark Spector Moon Knight, number 36. This is the first appearance of Randall as Shadow Knight, selling for about $15.
All right.
Avengers 129. This has a Kang appearance. Kang is as hot as can be right now, and so this is selling for about $50 for nice raw copies.
Mm-hmm.
What If Magic Became the Sorcerer Supreme? This is from 2018. This is selling for between $35 and $45. I don't think this is one of the episodes from the series, but it could be.
Okay.
So we'll see there. New X-Men Annual from 2001. This is the first appearance of Zorn, selling for between $15 and $30.
Right.
Booster Gold, number 5, from 2008. First appearance of the Black Beetle, selling for $20. Ghost Rider 28 from 1992. This is the first appearance of the Midnight Suns and Caretaker, selling for as high as $60. And last but not least, Why the Last Man, issue number one. Selling for about $300 for nice raw copies. But we got news, we got a trailer, rather, and a release date for Why the Last Man this past week.
Nice.
And so,
what is that? Do you know? Release date?
I don't remember.
You're teasing us. I got to look that up too.
I didn't watch the trailer either, honestly. I just know that it's out there.
Yeah.
But anyway, if the show is good, who knows? And hopefully the show is good, because the comic was great. I really liked this book. So looking forward to that.
All right. And, let me
Yeah, let me get in because that's the end anyway.
We have on the as far as Venom here. It says Venom, blah blah blah, pending. There has been no major announcement. This came out yesterday about a worldwide delay, and the current September 24th premiere date for North America is still in place, but the holds have started in other parts of the world. This week, Venom's debut in New Zealand was hit with a delay. So there are places around the world that are doing a delay, but so far in the United States, we haven't seen one yet.
That's the info you don't get from just reading the headlines.
Well, the headline was Venom, Let There Be Carnage, international release date delayed. Okay. So that's why I went with that one. So, all right. All right. That was a back issue bonus and a little bit of breaking news. You ready to get to FOC?
I am.
All right.
Okay, so this week for DC followed Marvel's playlist, and they were mostly not available with their variant covers this week either, which is not usually the case. I'm not quite sure why, but the one that they did have was actually a repeat. I think we've already shown this cover before, so I guess it's back on FOC. But Justice League 67 by Alexander Lozano.
Yep.
Is the only variant cover nice I have cover. For DC. It is a nice cover. And then the only new series from DC is Black Manta, number one. And this is a 6-issue miniseries, and it has multiple covers.
Right.
Moving to Dark Horse, we have Maze Book, issue number one, with two covers. From Marvel, once again, we had no variant covers. And we have new series, Extreme Carnage Toxin, issue number one.
That's
with
a cool
multiple
cover.
Covers. Yes, that is cool. And Kazar, Lord of the Savage Lands, number one. This is a 5-issue miniseries, and it has multiple covers. Ablaze Comics has He Who Fights with Monsters, issue one, with multiple covers.
All right.
Dynamite has Army of Darkness 1979, number one, with multiple covers. And Scout has Night of the Cadillacs, issue number one, with just one cover. And that was it for a pretty short FOC this week.
All right. All righty. That's quick. Nice and quick.
Yeah, there wasn't
tidy.
A lot.
Let's get
well,
right
it helps,
to checkout. Well,
I don't know if it helps. It helps or hurts when there's no variant covers to look at.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, it doesn't help sales, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But all right, you ready to get to checkout?
I am.
All right, John. This week, fun.
Yeah.
There's a couple of I haven't. Well, I've already made up my mind on what I want to title the show, but.
Oh, okay. I bet you we're fighting this week.
You think?
I think.
Maybe. All right, let's go. All right,
first
open
one
it up.
The first one that I guess we both read was Not All Robots, issue number one. This was from AWA. Had was written by Mark Russell and had art by Mike Diodato. So this is takes place in the year 2056. And robots have replaced human beings in the workforce. So basically every home now has been assigned a robot that is basically the breadwinner. This book actually reminded me of like America in the 1950s where like the man went out every day to work and, you know, the wife stayed home and took care of the house. But in this case, the robots are the man. And then the rest of the family is the wife staying at home, taking care
right.
of the house.
Everybody gets to stay home. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, robots have taken over all meaningful tasks in the world. And human beings are essentially have broken down to just being pets to the robots. And these robots all have different personalities. So they're not quite it's not like AI, like the Terminators or even in like the Matrix where everything was kind of like programmed. It seems like these robots all have individual personalities. The other thing that looks like has happened is that the robots have allowed the robots taking over and eliminating some of the issues that humans cause have allowed the population to grow quite a bit higher than where we are now. You know, it says in 2056 there's 10 billion humans living on Earth. I think we're at around 8 billion now. So I think that the fact that they are, you know, cleaning the environment and they are doing all these things to make life easier for humans who basically just stay at home and reproduce now and don't do anything else, have allowed the population to expand. But yeah, so again, going back to like the robots kind of being the quote unquote man of the house, they're starting to become a little resentful of the fact that they have to get up and go to work every day and do get all up. These things while the humans stay at home and do nothing.
Right.
Because I think I say get up, which is funny because I think they even make a comment somewhere in there
they don't sleep.
About how lazy humans actually sleep up to 8 hours per day or something like
right.
that. But yeah, this was just a very – like it's a satire on humanity. And, you know, obviously there's things that happen in this book, and you can see little sparks of even like Skynet or the other things going on here, because there is an event that happens that causes a lot of deaths, and I won't go into any detail on that. But so you get the feeling that the robots are going to rebel and rise up. So, yeah. I like this a lot. I thought the art was great. Mike Diodato has done a lot of work for AWA at this point. Almost every other book that we've reviewed by them, he's been the artist on. So he's just cranking them out. But the art is solid, like it always is. I thought the writing was smart, and I thought the premise was interesting. So I enjoyed this book quite a bit.
I did too. I did too, and I think this book has that little something that we talked about last week where it's a conversation starter, and there's a lot of stuff goes on in this book that you're like, you want to talk to somebody about it and be like, what do you think of this idea here? Because the robots are doing this, and then I love the whole idea of the robots talking to each other about empathy.
Yeah. When I loved the
being like, you don't need it, you know, you can shut it off.
Right.
Like, uh-oh.
But I loved that the people go to Inhuman Resources.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, there's humor in here, but the entire story is literally, by the end of it, obviously, is very scary.
It is scary, and you know, this isn't what I want from my robots. You know what I mean? Like,
I know what you want from your robots.
Yeah. Well, and they're developing that too, actually.
Right.
With the what were they called? Man something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, they're developing those robots too. But yeah, you know, every time you hear about these breakthroughs at MIT with the robotics, it just brings us one step closer to living in this world. And,
yeah.
And that's I'm not always happy when I see these things.
It's so funny, because that's what Joe's doing right now, the company that he's working for, engineering. He's programming robots, and they're buying robots to like work on an assembly line. And I'll give you an idea on what – the robot costs $30,000.
Right.
And this isn't a joke. That robot can produce the entire year's worth of supply for a company. So they manufacture parts for a company, and the company has like, I need this many parts this year. Okay. Right. So we'd have a guy sitting at the station, and he would pump out that many in the year by buying this robot and having it do it, for all intents and purposes, 24/7 for the week, they're done by April.
Yeah, and you know, you pay like, this guy
because it doesn't sleep.
And you paid the guy 60 to 70 grand for the year to sit there and do that job.
Right.
Every year. You bought this robot once.
It's scary.
For $30,000. And right. It does that job three – it turns that over three times per year, and it does it for the next 30 years or whatever.
You well, know what I mean? I was saying like so. These robots – like him and I were talking about it. But it would – say the robot lasts 4 years and then you right. upgrade to a new one. You still got your money's worth.
Oh, you made your money's worth by April, right?
And <I know. laughs>
anything yeah, exactly. it did for the next 3.5 years is gravy.
Right.
You know.
So it's scary. It's scary. This, but yeah. that's what I like about this book.
Well,
is
but
like,
even think about it. Like every time you go to the store now, you're using self-checkout. You know, I mean, how many right. things already have replaced human jobs, you know?
And, well, yeah. Just, I mean, it's no different than when they invented the car and all those blacksmiths right. were out of work.
This, exactly.
I mean, there's an evolution all of this stuff coming, and it's like,
right.
it won't affect us. Luckily, like with my kids, it probably won't affect them much. They're in jobs that it doesn't really affect. Obviously, my right. son's in the job of actually making them. So
right.
hopefully, but our grandchildren, and I mean, you've got right. 9 of them already. So hopefully.
Exactly.
But the day of like your grandchildren, they're not going to be able to have those jobs that we had when we were kids working at the grocery store or something.
No, there won't be any.
There won't yeah. be any. They'll be, you're yeah. going to have to, you know, hopefully there'll be a mom and pop store or something, but it's things are changing. And this book, yeah. it's funny, but it's also, at the same time, it does that little bit of, you know, like you said, like Terminator or something like that, right. the apocalypse or what could possibly happen with these the robot uprising. Right. Yeah, I really, really liked this book. So
yeah,
I could keep on talking about it, but you said we might argue. So did you like yeah. this next one even more?
I did. Yes. I
really?
Yeah. And I already told you that I did. You've known for 3 weeks.
I know, but I didn't. But I mean, I thought you. I mean, you liked Not All Robots, so
I did like it. Yes, but I like. I don't know this book. I really liked. It's The Me You Love in the Dark.
Okay.
Issue number 1. This is a 5-issue miniseries. It's from Image Comics. Written by Scotty Young. Had art by George Jorge Corona. Well, convince you, I don't know, because remember I already told you I've read the first 2 issues of this.
Right.
So when I was talking about it, I read the first 2 issues back to back, and when I mentioned that I liked it a lot, I couldn't pinpoint like what part of the story made me like it so much, and it might be things that are coming in issue 2, because I had only read them both together. Rereading this book again yesterday, issue 1, you know, I got a lot of the things that hooked me happened in the first issue, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in the second issue that make me really like this book.
Okay.
You know, a lot. So it may be just because I'm a little bit ahead of the game. But anyway, this book follows an artist named Ro, and she is basically you know, she's got like artist block, right? Like she's a very well-known
yeah.
artist, does gallery openings and things like that, but she's kind of stuck. She's lost her motivation or her mojo or what have you. So she's trying to look for inspiration. And so she goes to a small town. She thinks she's going to rent a house, and change of scenery will do her good. First page, you open up and she's in front of this house with her real estate agent, and the agent is basically trying to dissuade her from renting this house. Lots of rumors about the house being haunted and things like that, and Ro doesn't really pay any attention to that. This is the place that she wants to be, and this is where she goes. So she rents the house, and she's in there trying to find some inspiration. Doesn't initially believe that the house is haunted at all, but finds herself like talking out loud to the ghost, who she feels like should be helping her out if the house is, you know, if the right. house is haunted, the ghost should be like helping her unpack. And you know, filling up her wine glass and doing these different things for her. And so she, you know, she spends her time talking out loud to this ghost, and then all of a sudden
she was mocking it.
She was mocking it, right? That's what I'm saying. She doesn't believe that
it exists,
that the house is haunted,
right?
But you know, she's like frustrated because she can't find this and that, and she's like, "Well, the least you could do is help me unpack," or you know, things like that. But then all of a sudden, little things start happening, and the ghost reveals itself. You know, obviously this is, you know, it's no spoilers, but this is, you know, it's a haunted house. There's a ghost that starts to respond to her in interesting ways. And but rather than being deterred by this, she kind of pushes on. You know, she doesn't leave the house, and you know, she stays in the house, and that's kind of where issue one ends. And, you know, like I said, I have the benefit of issue two, where there's a lot of interaction between Ro and the ghost. But yeah, I don't know. I just found it really quirky. I thought the art, this is the same team that did Middle West for Image. And the art has definitely got a style, but I felt like it was quirky, and it kind of fit the characters in the story. And I don't know. I just thought this book was a lot of fun. I like it. To me, this is the one I prefer of the two. Once again, not quite as thought-provoking as Not All Robots. Just like last week, you know, we had two books, and, you know, the last book you'll ever read just was on a little bit different level when it comes to the message or what it was trying to convey. Where same thing here, Not All Robots feels like it's trying to say something. The Me You Love in the Dark is just a fun story. You know, it's what was the other book we read last week?
It was possessive.
And so this also has a similar vibe.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's what I was going to say to you.
It's got a similar vibe where, you know, I don't know that she's going to fall in love with this ghost or anything like that. Like, I don't know that this is a love story or anything. I have no idea. But there's definitely going to be some coexisting and some give and take with the spirit that resides in this house. So I don't know. Like I said, I thought it was fun, and I liked it. Again, I don't know, maybe I went into it with a bias because I already knew that
you liked the second story too.
And yeah, and I know issue two. So I was really invested in this book. I'm not going to fight you on the title of the show either way, but this is the book that I prefer of the two.
Right.
I know that you prefer Not All Robots.
Well, so. I did like this book. I loved everything that she was going through, because it's so funny. I just had this conversation the other day, or maybe it was today or yes, I don't know, about my other podcast, in that it's like when I get requests all the time on movies to break down, right?
Right.
And it's like when I break down a movie, it's like, and I don't, you know how I do my other podcasts. It's not like a review. It's like a literal breakdown of scene by scene that I really enjoyed. Well, you need inspiration for stuff like that. You can't, if somebody tells you break this movie down, at least for me, and what I said to my listener is I go, I'm not a professional. I can't just sit down and do this on the, like that. I need, so I go by what movies whatever strikes me, and then that's what I'll go with. And I mean, you and I talked about this in high school. It's like, I never wanted to have a job as an artist where they told me what I had to do.
Right.
And this, I did get like the Me You Love in it, that whole vibe that she was like stressed out, like sitting down, like do something, you know, and she couldn't. And she, you know, it's hard. How do you just produce something? And it's like you start and it doesn't come out right. So you just, you crinkle up the paper, you throw it away, you do whatever. It just, we've been there. So I get all of that. The thing to me, though, that was like why I put Not All Robots ahead of it is this felt so much like possessive?
Possessive, I think it was called possessive.
Yeah.
Or it might just be possessed. I don't remember.
But it felt like that kind of vibe from last week of the right. ghost interaction thing. But it was funny. There were like when things started popping up and she was like, oh, what? So don't get me wrong. It's like I feel like you and I could have great conversations about the me you love in the dark because right. of the artist part of it. And like I said, everything I was just saying, I just felt like not all robots is like, that's like anybody on the planet could have a conversation about that. Right. But yeah, no, if you want to go with the me you love in that, well, you know what? We'll talk about it more in the open. So we don't even know yet. The people are listening to us. It's already been written.
They already know.
They already know. They know who won the battle.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
So I don't know. Maybe I release the podcast twice under two different right. titles.
Right. The A cover and the B cover.
We could have a variant cover.
That's right. It's going to be our first ever variant issue.
Marvel didn't have any this week, but we did.
That's right.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, we'll think of something. So, all right. What else did you read this week? I've read a few others. I got caught up on some and read some from last week as well.
Well, go ahead, because I
caught up.
Nothing else is really coming to mind. So
I read Daredevil number 32 finally.
Okay.
And great job by you. I mean, I'm going to talk spoilers a little bit here, but great job by you keeping it quiet that Spider-Man made another appearance.
Oh, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the ending with now Elektra.
And like three bullseyes or four bullseyes or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I feel like the action's picking back up.
Yeah.
I feel like this is the first time that it really has picked up since, what is it? Carnage? Is that what the interaction?
From the King and Black
issues. And I don't want to say, like we've said many times, it's not really a lull, but when you're up so high for so long, but right. I kind of feel like, I don't know, Daredevil just like, boop, it went up a little bit more. And I mean, yes, they had Spider-Man mates a showing. Right. I was hoping to get a little bit more of him in there too. I thought he was going to pop in at the end, but, right. Yeah, I'm really, again, it's just such a great book. Just such
it
a great
is.
Book.
Yeah.
And on that, is there any talk of when that's ending? When Zdarsky's going to be done? Do we know that yet?
No, I haven't heard anything about him leaving the book anytime soon. So far as I know, it's going to continue on for a bit. Because, I know some of the other ones are ending. Spider-Man is changing over and Venom and all that. But I haven't heard anything about Daredevil. So
okay.
I think it's going to go for at least a little while longer.
Right. All right. Yeah. And I read Robin number 4. Really good.
Yep. That was
really
good. Yeah. I really liked, like I said, his interactions with Roz on the island. And
You got a pretty good background there. I mean, Damian, I keep saying, I'm like, he's one of my favorite, if not my favorite. And for so many years, I didn't want anything to do with him. Right. I was just like, oh, another Robin? Come on. But then once you meet him, it's just such a lovable character.
Right.
I love what's one of Roz say at the end? Roz says at the end something like, he's the demon and the detective.
Yeah.
But he's better than both.
Right.
And which I love that line. I love that line because it's like, and you almost feel like, I know this is comics, but you almost feel like you want to see him. I want to see him grow up and be better than Batman and be better than, you know, and just be that best version.
Well, and it's kind of, that's the direction they're taking John Kent right now. You know, like he is the superior Superman, you know, like he will grow up to be better than Clark. And that's kind of the direction they're taking his character right now. So
how do you be better than Superman?
Well, the thing is, right? So
the biggest issue with Superman is he's too good.
Well, but here's the thing: like Clark grew up with the Kents, right? And they instilled their values in him, and he became who he is, right?
Yeah.
So now you have John, who's the son of Clark, who has all his abilities plus a little more, because he's actually a little bit more powerful than Clark, right? But now he's growing up with Clark and Lois Lane as his parents, right? So he's getting all the Kents, all the Clark, all that stuff. But he's also got Lois, right, as right. an influence, who's also a major hero in the DC universe. So he's just a better product, right? And that's the way they're building that character. And
right.
you know, so then you go to Damian, and he's got everything that he learns from Batman, but he's also learned all this stuff from the League of Assassins and from his mother and from, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just like you have all of X, but you got a little bit of Y also. So
right.
like, how do you not be better?
Well, it's like anything
now,
else.
Whether he'll have the same morals, I guess, as Bruce remains to be seen, right?
Right.
Because like he might have more skills, but will he be the better hero than Batman? There's no telling. But like with John Kent, you don't have that same worry, right?
Cause, right.
You know, he was brought up by the people that brought him up. So he wasn't brought up by the League of Assassins. So there's no, you know, there's no history there. Yeah. So
you thought Red Sun was bad.
Exactly.
I also, while you were saying that though, I'm like, I'm picturing, and this is what's funny, and this is the funny things that we do as comic book fans. It's like, put yourself as a character in the comic, right? Not like as a spectator. And like, I know what you're saying, like as a reader and knowing right. John and knowing Clark, and one is going to be better than the other because he was raised to be like, we all raise our kids to have better lives and better versions right. of us. Right.
Right.
But as a spectator, as somebody that's going to be saved by Clark or John,
right.
There's no difference. It's like, right. you're like, thank you.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, what I mean? It's like, I
could be saved by Weasel and I'm going to be just like, as happy. Right. So.
But you know what I mean? Like, could you imagine that poll trending on Twitter? Like, who's better, right. Clark or John? Like, well, Clark right. did all of this and John did all of this. Okay. Even. Right. All right. Clark did all of this and John did all of this. It's yeah. like, you know, that's all. I'm just, I just don't, unless is John not, it does he, what's his, is he, have the same exact weakness to kryptonite?
No, well, I'm not sure there, but they've talked about how since he is actually half human,
right. He kind actually, of like a vampire, can't go out during the kryptonite hours.
But that has somehow given him more – it has enhanced his abilities over Clark. Like he's able, I guess, to absorb more sunlight. Like he's able to right. absorb more and ultimately be more powerful than Clark was because of the human half. So I don't know specifically about the kryptonite weakness though. I would imagine it's probably still there. But
yeah.
So far in the stories I've read with him, it hasn't really come up. So,
well, that could be one you want to learn about.
It could be. We didn't talk about that book either, The Superman Son of Kal-El. I don't know if you ever got a chance to read it.
No,
I
haven't.
But
when was
I really
that out?
Liked it, actually, a couple weeks ago. Two weeks ago.
I have it. I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's actually pretty good. You know, it's one of the case of one of those like you don't want Clark to be gone forever. You know what I mean? Like eventually
you want
Clark to be back. But I like this story and I like John as a character. So I'm okay with him taking the front line for now.
Right.
But you know, eventually it'll go back and Clark will be back. But there's a reason why he's not there, and you know, it all makes sense if you've been reading and following the books for the last year or so. I mean, they've been building towards this, so it all makes sense why things are the way they are. But I thought the book was pretty good. Excuse me, it's Tom Taylor, you know, so Nightwing, he's doing great there. So, you know, there's no reason to think it won't be just as good with Superman. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like the same thing with the Robin book. It's not like we don't want Batman right. anymore, but they are great stories to read, and it's right. And to have nice, fun conversations like this.
Right.
Also read Spawn number 320, continuing okay. on my loving that.
Yeah, comic. I haven't read that. Yeah.
All right. Did you read Berserker number 4?
I did. Yes.
Was that any better for you? I know.
Well, I mean, it definitely wasn't just issue 3 all over again, but I don't know. Like, I'm really, you know, I'm still on the fence with this book, you know?
I kind of did feel like it was a little bit, but then it progressed because yeah. I started to right. see what you and Dr. Joe were talking about, and I'm like, oh, and then all of a sudden it picked up, and I yeah. did like that. You know what I noticed about Berserker? I think we might have said this before. Is it me, or does it feel like it's not paced like a comic? It's paced like a movie? And could that be an issue? Like, comic books need to have, like, its story within that story of that book. Right. And then also have a larger story like that they're telling.
Right.
Right.
Overarching
and
stories.
I feel like that they just keep ending these, and they're like, well, they'll just get more next time. Like, they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, they wrote an entire story and didn't break it up right.
Right. They didn't split it in the right places.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know. Because, yeah, I always feel kind of just left wanting when I get to the end of the book. And not so much wanting that, like, I can't wait to get to the next one. It's
right.
just like I feel like I don't know that I didn't really get anything from this book.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm still there. Like, I'm still going to keep reading it, but – I've been a little whelmed with this one, honestly. Like, it's not living up to what I was – yeah, not living up to what I was hoping it would be. And it really just feels like a cheap old guard, you know? Like, it feels yes. like the old guard but not done as well. So I don't know. I'm waiting.
It's yeah. I hate to say it, but I feel like we should stop because it might ruin movie/show.
Right.
You know, like,
well, I'm already on. I said I'm going to keep going, but there is a point where, like, if it really doesn't start to hook me pretty soon, I just will be done with it and I won't keep reading it.
That's what I mean. So, it's like at yeah. some point we're going to go like, oh, I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's like I'll catch
There's
it on the show.
Too many books. There's too many books and my time is I can't read them all. So,
yeah,
like I eventually just start cutting things loose because I just can't keep up with them all. So,
right. I'm sure the show will be good.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet with this book, but I could be.
Yes. So that's too yeah. bad.
Yeah.
I mean, but. All right. And the last one that I have of note is obviously Batman 111, which
yeah.
came out last week. Was
yeah.
really good. Yeah. Loving that. And loving it even more now that I know that Tynan's going away.
Yeah, you're just savoring it right now.
Yeah, like, oh. Yeah. Speaking of that, is there any talk on who's going to replace him?
No. I mean, this news just dropped, so yeah. they haven't said anything about who's coming to take his place.
Tom King?
Yeah, Tom King. Donnie uh-oh. Cates, right? Oh, you steal Chip Zdarsky from Marvel.
That would be cool. Well, is Zdarsky?
I mean, he's already doing Justice League Last Ride, so yeah. I mean, he's kind of already crossed the street back and forth, but
right.
But Batman's a big gig. Like, I don't think you get Batman and then keep doing 10 other books, you know. Although
Batman
Tynan's doing Devil. Like 7 books a month.
I know. So, I know. The two biggest writers, I think, are Zdarsky and Tynan. So,
well, and Donnie Cates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Donnie Cates is pretty prolific, and he's writing a lot of stuff these days. So, yeah, Batman was good. I read X-Men 2. I don't know if you've caught up with the new
nope.
X-Men series.
Didn't catch
but
up with that.
It is kind of, at least so far in the first two issues, it's kind of what we were hoping for, where it's breaking away a little bit from the Hickman
okay.
stuff, in the sense that it's been a lot more fun this first two issues, especially issue 2. Issue 2 was a lot of fun. There was like one very, very small paragraph at like the first page, and then there was like no data pages through the rest of the book. So
oh,
that
nice.
Was awesome all by itself. But I like the team that they've put together. it's been pretty fun. So if you're not on board yet, it's only two issues. So okay. I would get on board. Yeah, it's been pretty good.
Okay. I trust
and
you.
And then the other – I read an older book actually. I had a graphic novel came into the store last week, and it was a book that I had never seen. I don't even remember ordering it, but it was a story that I had never read from a guy that I really like. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I never have. Stepan Sejic. He did Harleen for DC a little while back. But he does a lot of stuff for Image. He's done Sunstone and stuff. Those are books that I've talked about before that I really, really loved. And so this graphic novel came in, and it was by him. And I was like, well, I want to read this. So I read that. It was like an 8-issue series from, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago called Death Vigil. And it was actually a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. I don't know if you're a fan of this guy and you like his stuff and you haven't read it, it's definitely worth picking up, because I thought that was a lot of fun. But that's all I nothing else really stands out. Like, I don't really remember reading anything else.
I read a bunch. I read a bunch last week, and those ones I wrote down.
I read a bunch every week, but it's like, they don't all stand out for some reason.
Hey. But that's the idea. You got to make your stuff stand out. And
X-Men definitely stood out. X-Men stood out it was just more fun. And it was kind of, like I said, it was what we were hoping for when we got to the Hickman stuff with the X-Men. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. That's what we wanted. And
yeah.
I'm actually very excited. I might read that later this evening if Jen falls asleep instead of watching a show.
Okay.
Speaking of that, are you ready to get to Real World?
I am.
Uh-oh. Getting comfortable. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, John. Take us back. What was on your TV this week?
I know we'll get to it later. Actually, the first thing I really watched this week was Suicide Squad. But I know we'll talk about that a little bit more, so I'll skip that. But I also watched on HBO Max, I think it was called Let Him Go. It's got Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. I think it's new to HBO Max. It came out in the theaters. I remember seeing the trailers for this a little while back. But it's basically they're a couple whose son dies in an accident, and his son's wife was staying with them, and like the wife and the grandson were staying with them. And then she gets remarried, and all of a sudden just like they just pick up and leave and disappear and without telling them that they're going or what have you. And so, you know, obviously they're concerned for their ex-daughter-in-law and their grandson. So they start doing some investigating and come to find out that she's married into basically like the gangster family. You know, she's married into a really bad family, and it's your typical, you know, action movie, you know, like they got to go get their grandson and they're, you know, they got to go save the family from this family that they've married into. But yeah, it was.
So maybe not one that I want to start watching with this upcoming wedding.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. But you know, it's just your typical.
Jen and I afterwards. Huh?
Yeah, it's your typical Kevin Costner, Liam Neeson, Taken movie. You know, he's an ex-cop, so he's got skills, and you know, they got to go in and get their family back. So it was fine. Like it was very well. It was good, but it was just very like been there, done that. Like I've seen this movie 100 times. Just with different people in slightly different circumstances.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's the exact same movie that you think it's going to be. And there's no real big surprises. But it was good. Like, it's Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. You know, how bad can it be with,
right,
with really good actors? And like I said, it's fine. And I'm not saying that as like a in a negative way necessarily, but it's not like it didn't break anything new that I've never seen before, but it's definitely worth an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes of your time. So,
yeah.
So yeah, definitely check it out though. And then we started watching, this is another Mexican show, on Netflix, and I have no idea how to pronounce the title of it. I'm going to be honest with you. It's like Ingobernable or something like that. I don't even know what it means, but yeah, it's not a novella. It's a legit like series that they did on Netflix. It was made for Netflix, but it is in Spanish, but we've turned on the English subtitles. So we're watching it in English. And then you get that really cool Saturday morning kung fu movie vibe because, you know, you get to hear them talking in English, but their mouths are moving in all kinds of different directions.
Right.
Because they're speaking in Spanish. But yeah, it's basically it's a thriller. It focuses on a woman who was married. She was basically the first lady of Mexico. She was married to the president. President gets murdered. And, of course, she's suspect number one, but she didn't do it. She's being framed and. It's that whole thing. So, you know, it's the whole thing unfolding, you know, she's trying to prove her innocence and, they're hunting her down and, you know, you're trying to figure out what's going on. It's a 2-season show. It's got like, I think 15 episodes in season one and 12 episodes in season two. We're just, early in season two right now. So, that's kind of what we watched, like Sunday and Monday. It's good. Like I said, if you can get over the language, I actually we watched the first several episodes in Spanish and I just read the subtitles.
Okay.
But one night we were putting it on and we were sitting down to eat dinner.
Yep.
And I was like, you know, I can't eat and watch this at the same time because I can't read it. So
I'm
we flipped over the language and then I've just kind of kept it that way. But I'm at the point where I might switch it back because I have a hard time with the syncing issues and the voices that don't quite match the faces that you're seeing on the screen. But it's definitely watchable in English. So if you can, like I said, if you can get over that part of it, you guys would probably like it. It's actually been it's suspenseful and it's been pretty good. So, and like I said, it's Ingobernable or something like that. I mean, you'll find it. Yeah, it's I-N-G-O-B. I don't know the word. Like, even Lydia is not quite sure, like, what the word is. But it's a Spanish word, so.
I'll start with I-N-G-I-B.
I-N-G-O-B.
O-B.
Ingobernable. Yeah, it'll come up.
And then whatever comes up from there, we'll go with.
Yeah, Ingobernable.
All right, that it?
But yeah, that's pretty much it, yeah.
All right. The one that I was thinking of when you were talking about that wedding movie, the marrying into the wrong family type deal.
Yeah.
So this was years ago, probably 4 years ago. Joe and I, have you seen the movie Snitch?
Snitch.
With Dwayne Johnson, The Rock?
And, don't think so.
All right. So it's from 2013. And it looks, you'd think it was a textbook, like, action movie that, you know, it's got The Rock in it, right? So you're like, all right, we're all in. So I bought the Blu-ray. I'm like, hey, I hadn't heard of this one. So I bought it. Joe and I sat down to watch it. And John, by the end, Joe was in high school.
Right.
He was probably a senior in high school. And the movie is about a kid in high school that his buddies end up being like drug dealers and the cops catch the kid in a compromising position and they use everything, all the legal pressure that they can put on you to get him to snitch. And if he doesn't do it, he's going to go to jail for like 15 years and blah, blah, blah. And it's all this, the loopholes that they have. Sounds
familiar, but I don't remember it really.
And the only saving grace in the movie is luckily the kid's father was The Rock. Right. So, but what I thought was funny is he's the Rock's supposed to be like a like an everyman,
right?
But he's not.
But he's the Rock, right?
It's like, you know what I mean? It would be this one. I feel like
they should have cast me or you.
Yeah, right? Yeah, or Liam Neeson or something like you said right. earlier, and that's what made me think. I'm like somebody like that, but the entire time you're like, he's just gonna go off on these people, and he doesn't really because he comes off as like I think he's a construction worker that just
right.
obviously is really strong.
Yeah, because the thing is, all he has to do is walk in the room and he's intimidating everybody. Like,
right?
You know what I mean?
He's not even in my room and I'm intimidated.
Exactly.
It's on the screen. But it was very. It's a sobering movie when you see like because they're taught. It's all real life stuff, and you're like, argh. And then and then the horror. Joe goes to college, and in the first couple of months, there's a situation very similar to this movie. One of Joe's buddies dealing. They pull Joe in, and you know who, the only thing that saved us. You know who pulled Joe in? I think I told you this. Scott Gardner.
Oh, really? No, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell you that?
No.
So where he went to school, Scott was one of the cops.
Right.
And we didn't know that when Joe signed up for the school, you know, when he went to the school. But we found out.
Now, when he pulled him in, did he know he was your son or he found out
afterwards? Knew absolutely that it was our son.
Oh, okay.
But he showed up at Joe's dorm at 5 o'clock in the morning, knocked on the door and was like, sorry, we have to meet this way. But and then he questioned him. Yeah, then he questioned him, and I was up every morning at 6 o'clock, and I get a message, Dad gave me a call, and I was like, uh oh, so I call him. He told me everything, and the good news was, that morning, Jen's on the phone with Scott. He's talking. Scott was great. He happened to be on duty that night, and he stayed on duty till this was cleared up. But Jen and I are panicking because he's telling us stuff that was in this movie Snitch.
Right.
And you're like, oh, my God, the legal trouble, this, that, and the other thing. And Joe had absolutely nothing to do with it, but you don't know. But when they got a hold of the kid that they were after, the kid said, he has nothing to do with this. He's just a buddy of mine from the lacrosse team. But if that kid doesn't do that, we're like, what the hell? Joe was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was on tape, and that's how they got him, and it was his card that swiped. Scary, scary morning. Only made better. Like, if it wasn't Scott there, could you imagine how I would have felt? Like, what the hell? But, yeah, so all of that stuff, like you're saying. So I don't think I'm going to watch that movie on the weddings because I don't want to jinx Meg's. But anyways, what I did watch this week, we did start Serpent.
Okay.
The one you told him. And Jen loves it.
Yeah.
A little slow for me, like you said. I think you said
I told you right in the very beginning it was.
Yeah, the first episode I was like, I didn't fall asleep, but it was later at night. And I was like, but she actually, the next night, she's like, can we watch that again? I'm like, yeah, let's do episode two. Yeah, she really liked that. Did you ever talk about All American?
Never seen it.
It's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I know what it is, but I never watched it.
Yeah, we started that. It's pretty good. Check it out. Check that out. It's I don't want to give away too much because the first episode is really good. And then there's a little spin at the end, which was pretty cool. So if you guys want to check that one out, there's a few seasons and a new season just dropped. That's why it just showed up. And Jen and I think it started in 2018, 16, something like that. But I also went back on HBO Max and I was watching, Batman Under the Red Hood. Check that out again. Have you seen that before? Animated? That's
a
lot of fun.
It is.
Opening scene, really tough. Joker and the whole crowbar, everything. And I just watched this the other night when I went to bed. I meant to put it on to fall asleep, and I end up just staying awake for it. But that entire lore of what the Joker did. It's like, is that not one of the most violent acts in all of comics?
Yeah. And Well, it's one of the most personally violent acts. Because, I mean, you got Thanos who, like, destroys planets, right?
That's what I mean.
Obviously,
yeah.
More violent.
Yeah.
But this is a personal, like, it's face-to-face violence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a different level.
It just, and seeing it play out like that on Under the Red Hood, you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, how, and I think of that, it's like when Jen and I saw Joker, and where you felt like, and we had the conversation, you have sympathy for the character in that movie. And I was like, I don't. Right. I know who this guy is. And like, yeah, but that's right. No, I can't. That's who I have no sympathy for him. I don't want to have sympathy for him. I know what he grows up to become.
And if you think about it, two of the most violent acts in all of comics were both by the Joker.
I know.
Because you talked about that one and then talk about the one on Barbara from like Killing Joke, which
right.
is equally as bad. So,
well, that's
like,
the one that
the Joker's
I actually
at the
used.
Center of both of those, you know what I
right.
mean?
Right. That's so. The one that I used when I was talking to Jen about Joker, and she's like, because she's trying to tell me, I go, and I told her what he did to Barbara, and she was like, oh. I go, yeah, that's like, that's comic book. That's right. canon. That's lore.
The thing is,
that's
it's because you know
that
in the context of that movie,
right.
he starts as a sympathetic character. But yes, if you have history with that character,
right.
it's hard to feel too bad for him.
Right. And like we said, if you wanted me to have sympathy for the character, you shouldn't have named the movie Joker. You should
right.
have just
it could
made
have been
this
anything
a guy,
else.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And just, okay.
Jackpot the Clown.
And the other Batman one was Mystery of the Batwoman. Have you
seen that one?
Check
no.
that one out too. They're just good watches. Just
yeah.
nice, relaxing. And they are actually good in the theater too. So I think you'd enjoy them. So that was about it. Other than that, we're still plugging away. We're waiting to catch up with Kevin Can F Himself.
Right.
We're waiting to get our copies because I can't do those commercials. Jen's dying to watch it though. She goes, come on, let's just do one with commercials. I'm like, I don't have that kind of time. It bothers me.
And you guys still aren't on the Ted Lasso train, right?
No, she's getting closer though
because
she's hearing.
Because season two is going on right now. It is so damn good.
I know, but she's, I want to watch it, but she doesn't want to watch it. And
but she's hearing people talking about season two right now.
You know what I think it's going to take? It's like her mother's going to see it, and then her mother's going to be like, this is great. And she'll be like, oh, we need to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been telling you for years. That happens all the time.
Right.
Ever since, I mean, I like her mother says something and it's, let it, you know, like you said earlier, let it be written. Let it be done.
Yeah.
Let
it be done.
That's her mother. And it's like, I'll tell her something for years and years. I'm like, this is the greatest thing. And then she'll be like, no, no, no. And her mother be like, check this out. Okay. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just say two words to her. Cobra Kai.
I did. You said that right from the beginning. Yeah. You've been saying that right from the beginning. It's like, you got to check that out. So
Ted Lasso is so great. And it's like I said, it's got nothing to do with the soccer part of it or whatever. It's just so I don't know. Like, I'm not a big touchy-feely guy. You know that. I mean, you've known me for a long time. But I mean, it's just got so much, like, heart to it, you know?
Right.
Like, it's just so fun to watch all the time. And it's just, it's just really good. So.
Yeah, it's we'll try. And they're short episodes, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're 22 they're like minutes 20, or something like minutes. That.
Yeah, it's a sitcom.
It's basically 30 minutes with no commercials. So
right. I'll see if I can get her maybe tonight. I'll see if I can get her to start that again. It reminds me of that. What was that NASCAR one with Kevin James that we watched that we liked?
Well, you watched it. I didn't. I still haven't watched it yet.
Oh, you gotta check that one out.
Yeah, it's on my list. I just haven't gotten to it, but it got canceled.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know that it got canceled.
Yeah,
so
I'm sure
there won't be a season two of it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
we thought it might be, but. It was like it reminded me a little bit of that, the whole Kevin Can F Himself. It wasn't as bad as the bad parts of Kevin Can F Himself, but it did. You did feel like, oh, okay, like a laugh track or whatever. It felt weird, but just, you know, it did have a good heart to it, And by the end of it, you're like, come on. And you it did leave you wanting more, but I bet you a lot of people didn't get to the part.
Didn't get
to the end. Yeah. I could see that, but I think it's worth a watch. And even we don't remember the name of it.
No, but like, well, if I went and looked at my queue on Netflix, it would be there because it shows up every time I go to look at it.
Oh, there you go.
I just
check it out.
Always end up with something else, you know. Yeah. I always end up on something else. Lydia has been pushing me to watch this show for a little while now, so we started watching that this week. Yeah. But we'll be done tomorrow, so we'll be on to something else.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. That's it.
That's all I watched.
All right. And that'll wrap up the show. That'll wrap up the show for
the show proper.
Show proper before we get to easy for me to say, get to Kryptonite Key Club and spoilers of Suicide Squad. Yeah. So if you're not going to stick around for that, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with, we have What If coming up next week. We have Titans season 3 next week. We have Bad Batch wrap up next week. I don't know, John, are we going to have enough time? Are we going to do comic books too?
We'll make it fit.
We're going to...
we'll make
duct tape and WD-40, yep. And we'll throw there that bad boy together. It'll be all set. Yep. We'll just get it all slippery. We'll
duct tape you to your seat.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, it's legal.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, you can reach us at brightside_chat on Twitter, or you can talk to John exclusively. Just go to @ArkhamComics with an X. He'll get back to you in 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 days. Yeah, well, I'm not that bad. A couple days, maybe.
2 to 3, yeah. I think I've said stuff to you, and not like weeks. I bring it up on the show.
I mean, you're still waiting for some phone calls.
I know. Exactly.
I'm not great about staying connected.
That's why we had to do this podcast. Yeah. Otherwise, the last time I talked to you was August 2018.
Yeah, no kidding.
That was 3 years ago.
I know.
We sat and brainstormed up this little baby here.
We did. And our lives were forever changed.
Yes, they were. All right. That'll do it for this week. Check out us and all the other great podcasts. If you're listening to this, you are checking out us, so that was stupid. But all the other podcasts at nerdylegion.com, like Comic Talk Today and Nerdy Legion, which hasn't done a podcast in a while. Martin, get off your butt. I know you're busy because you're supposed to be doing something with me too. But over there. And What Did You Watch This Week? Where they go into more things to watch. You're looking for that. So we do a little bit of everything over here. So
yeah, we're smorgasbord.
Yep. Hey,
jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. We're hanging out in a comic book store, talking comics and all things comics, having a good time. We didn't know what direction to go into, so we leaned into Lost.
All of them. Yeah. We're like the timeline on Loki. We just branched.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So don't get me going on a Loki tangent. Let's wrap this up and get to Kryptonite because I'm getting hungry. All right.
Me too.
Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you on the other side of Kryptonite.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right, John. Is that door locked?
It is.
Well, it is now.
I was going to say, you know what we don't have is a kryptonite sounder, but I guess that door locking is kind of the kryptonite sounder.
That's what I use as a marker. Yes. Yeah.
Don't really have I don't know what sound kryptonite makes, but if we ever figure it out.
I thought it did. I mean, I could probably go into Superman. I could probably
find the low hum of kryptonite.
Yeah. I think in Superman 78, they have that whenever they show it, there's a
maybe
something like that. So maybe I'll find it, and I don't think that'll get us demonetized.
Probably not.
I'll Google kryptonite sound.
Yeah,
I bet you it shows up.
Oh, I'm sure there's something. Yeah, well.
Yeah, it'll be some guy singing Kryptonite. Oh, you know what it is? Yeah. It's probably the song Kryptonite.
That's true.
There is the song.
That might get us demonetized.
Yeah, that definitely would. I love that song, too.
Yeah.
Great song. I won't play it here because I don't want us to get demonetized. There goes right. All of our earnings.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All the earnings.
All of the earnings.
I mean, can you go into negative demonetized?
Because, yes, you can.
Like I don't know how they could take it any lower.
Well, they could sue us for using their stuff. Well,
that's true. Yeah, we could owe them.
Exactly.
That's the negative, right? We owe them.
Yeah, we owe them. Exactly. So, all right, let's get into the Suicide Squad and the spoilers. And where would you like to start? Slow down.
Don't get too attached to any character that you like.
I know. Yeah.
Which we knew going into it, right? Like, you know, you had this lineup of like 30 characters that we knew were in the movie, and James Gunn had said for months, don't get too attached to too many people. But yeah, there's a huge bloodbath right at the very beginning of the movie.
Right at the, yeah. And, Boomerang. Not coming
gone.
Back,
yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops. We kind of should have seen that coming because that seems like something like James Gunn would do. Like, Boomerang,
right. That's
not
like
coming
an inside,
back.
Yeah,
whoa.
Inside joke right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, you know, you open with Team One that storms the beach and pretty much all of them get decimated except for Harley, which you knew she wasn't going to be dead, and
right.
Flag, you know. And what? Then you meet Team Two, who is basically who you follow through the whole movie, which is the
that was
Idris
fantastic.
Elba and
when they find Flag,
yeah,
and they had wiped out her entire like what guerrilla group or whatever,
Teresa Mendoza's group.
Yeah,
like, I was like, hey, that's Queen of the South.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't see them. And then Polka Dot Man's like, yeah, we killed them all.
Yeah. We didn't see any men out there. Yeah, that was great.
Fantastic. Because I even like the way they delivered that line, because right away, like, you're like, wait a minute, they just killed everybody.
Right.
And you, yeah, like I figured it out before they announced it, but then they were
me
like.
Me too, but only just before. Like, only as they were saying it.
Right. And then you're like.
Once they open up on the two of them at the table laughing and talking together, you're like, uh-oh, what happened here? So, yeah, basically they killed all the freedom fighters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, yeah, I'm here with their freedom fighters. No, you're not.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How'd you get in? Where was all the men? We didn't see any men.
Polka Dot Man just can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's just like, we just killed everybody. Yeah.
But to see, and I like that whole scene. That's what I liked about this movie, though, was like it was like ultra violent, right? Like it was definitely graphic, but it was just funny. Like, I don't know. Like, there was just so many moments that were just delivered really well. I don't know. Like I said, it was just fun. You know, it was a lot of fun.
That, and I thought that, I mean, just talking about that scene there, but even like the heart that this movie had, like you felt more for even Peacemaker. You felt more for him.
He turned out to be a giant. Yeah, King Shark was the best. My favorite character actually was Ratcatcher 2.
And Sebastian.
But they were great. You know, they were super great. Idris Elba was great. He always is. But his character was good. The whole thing with the rat phobia and all that was awesome.
Are you like me in that by the end of the movie, how violent the movie was, how much talk about a tangent. The scene at the beginning, what was the character's name? It's the opening scene and he uses the racket, the racquetball to kill the bird.
Oh yeah. Well,
what's his name?
What is his name? Michael Rooker.
Yeah. Michael Rooker, he gets killed And then that same bird is the one, not the same yeah. bird, but the same species,
but the
of,
same
bird,
species of bird
is now
yeah,
eating
great.
Out of his like open yeah. skull.
Yeah,
and you're just like,
awesome.
That was so cool because yeah. they opened that movie with him just killing the bird. And then he gets right. the blood on the racquetball, wipes it on his pants. And you're just like, that's just setting the tone, right?
Right.
So by the end of the movie, I was so afraid for Sebastian.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that blood sport was just going to go and crunch him or something.
And crunch
but
him
he
on
doesn't.
His leg. Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, but I'm like, but that's what I liked about that. And that's one of those things that I want to go when I go back and watch it again, I feel like those are little things that I'll be like, see, that wasn't in the first one. You don't have yeah. that nice story arc beginning to the beginning where you open up with a character that just kills anything and for no right. No reason. There was no reason to kill that bird. And then now you have, you know, Bloodsport who has progressed enough in them as a person and like actually is trying to like Sebastian, trying to accept right. him. And which I thought was the entire movie, which it was a relief too. At the end, you're yeah. like, I knew as soon as we met Sebastian, I'm like, oh, he's going to die. There's right. no doubt about it. And we're going to have, I'm going to probably bawl my eyes out.
Right.
But I just thought that little thing right there, that bookend to the movie, it just, that's right. something that didn't happen with Suicide Squad.
With the first one.
With
yeah.
the first one.
Well, and this was the best Harley we've gotten, right? Between Birds of Prey and the first Suicide Squad. I think it was the best version of her. Like that scene where she's like breaking out of the prison and like she's shooting the gun and like all the flowers are shooting behind
yeah,
her or
yeah.
whatever. Like I don't know. To me that was just like the most Harley she's ever been, you
right.
know, as far as like being true to the comics. And I guess the best Harley we've ever gotten is Kaley Cuoco on that show. But
true.
I mean, the best version of Margot Robbie being Harley, this movie, I think was
right.
like the best that she's been. And yeah, like King Shark was awesome.
King Shark was so
again not
good.
As good as the animated King Shark.
That's what I was just going to say. I thought it was a great compromise between the two yeah. because when you think of it, it's funny you bring up Harley because I wanted to too because that's a rated R animated series,
right?
Right. So you have some of the same things that they're able to speak the same way and say,
right?
And the King Shark that's in the animated series. He's more of a, like, they're both dopey and lovable.
Right.
But I felt like the King Shark in the movie, he was just as dopey and lovable, but in a different way that played better as a live action, quote
right.
unquote, shark. Right.
Right.
Because I thought he was, I don't know, I loved how he, like, raised his hand, and they're like, yes, yeah. that's your hand. Like, he didn't have a question. He was
no.
like, hand.
Yeah. He's just like, well, and I love the whole, like, I'm going to go in disguise and I'm going to wear a mustache. And he's like putting his finger in front of his nose. It was just, yeah, he was great.
And
he was great.
I mean, it just shows the range of Sylvester Stallone, too.
Right. I mean, classically trained actor, Sylvester Stallone. He's one of our giants.
Yeah. I mean,
but, I mean,
it's
like
still
said,
a better
thought,
role than Vin Diesel as Groot.
True.
I'm Groot.
But like I said, I thought Ratcatcher, I thought she was a great character. Even Polka Dot Man was great. And
he
it's
was
like,
awesome.
How stupid is that character? Like, how
yeah.
stupid is Polka Dot Man? You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's like, did you see the reason why, like, they, you know, obviously James Gunn is doing the press tour, you know, because of yeah. this movie. And they, you know, originally they wanted him for either Superman or Justice League. You know, when they approached him to come to Warners, they wanted him to do one of those movies. And the reason why he chose Suicide Squad specifically is he said, look, if I don't tell Superman's story, somebody else is going to come along and tell that story. He says, if I don't tell Polka Dot Man's story, like, nobody else is ever going to tell Polka Dot Man's story, right? So, and that's like, that's kind of the reason why he chose this movie, is so
right.
he could pick these dopey, stupid characters and tell a good story with them. Because Like, there's nobody dumber than Polka Dot Man. But you liked that character. You know?
You felt and the for
fact
the character.
That he saw, like, the his giant mother? Moms everywhere. Like, his he, mom, like, on people's faces and stuff.
Even the
and
starfish.
Like, yeah.
You're like the giant starfish, and you're like.
Right. It's his mom.
It's his mom. And yeah. that wasn't. Didn't Bloodsport say that? Like, that's yeah. your mom.
That's your mom.
It's like,
yeah.
Yeah, so, it's
but he was great. He was fun, you know. This everybody was good, you know. Everybody was fun. I thought
it was fun, but rated R, dark,
yes,
and gross at times.
Yes,
like and like I said, enough to keep you on the edge of your seat. Like, what's going to happen next? And speaking of what's going to happen next, were you shocked when Flag got? Killed?
I didn't expect Flag to die. Yeah, I was definitely surprised. And I really expected, like, when we got the post-credit scene.
I thought it was him.
I thought it was him also. Now, I know why it was Peacemaker, because we're leading into the show.
Right.
I thought it, when they said, oh, they talked about his heart or something like that, I was like, oh, it's Flag, you know, and they're going to bring him back for whatever.
Right.
But then it turned out to be Peacemaker. And yeah, like you said, even Peacemaker, even though he was a giant ball of turd, you know what I mean? You still, at the end of the day, like, want to watch his show. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's the like, thing is, for him to be a giant ball of turd, as you so eloquently yeah. put it.
Well, because I couldn't say anything stronger.
Exactly.
You
but
know.
For him to be that, they actually had to get you to that point where the reason right. he was a ball of turd is because he backstabbed the team.
Right.
Where you felt for him and you're like, he's actually a good guy. But right. at the same time, the entire movie up until then, you're like, why is he on the Suicide Squad? Because he's such right. a good guy. He's like, right. he's for Liberty. He's got a toilet seat on his head that says yeah, Liberty, right. you know? And that's what I meant earlier in when we were talking spoiler free. And I'm like, the character development of each and every character, including Harley. But
right.
when you're talking about Peacemaker, you're like, through that movie, you're like, why is he in jail? I get it. It's like, I mean, he was doing things for the right reason, right?
Right.
But then they showed you, they delivered, they showed you at the end. You're like, right. that's why he's on the Suicide Squad, because he's a right. dink.
Right.
And it's like,
and the thing is,
he literally, like, it's black and white to him. Like, nope.
Right.
You've got to do the right. This is what we were told to do. This is it. You're going right. to die. And he kills Flag.
Well, and then, like you said earlier, like, you can't feel betrayed by a character if you're not invested in the character.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah. they did a good job with all of that, you know, because he was funny. Like, he was, again, I'm not a big John Cena fan necessarily.
I love John Cena. I think he's hysterical.
But I think the character yeah. had personality, like, he yeah. was engaging. Because, again, of all the characters in this movie, why is he getting a show? You know, like, why Peacemaker? Why isn't it like a Ratcatcher show or Polka Dot Man show or whatever? Why this guy?
Right.
But, you know. As you're watching the movie, you're like, you know, he's engaging and he's, you know, he's fun to watch and he's kind of a jerk. So, you know, he's the anti-hero that you're going to watch, you know. And at the end of the day, like, I'm looking forward to watching his show and seeing what happens and hoping some of these other people pop up in it. You
right.
know? Like, yeah. hopefully, like, maybe not Idris Elba or Harley, but maybe Polka Dot Man pops up or maybe Ratcatcher yeah. pops up, you know. So
yeah, it's I just what they did, and with, like you said, with Peacemaker, I do like John Cena. I like him a lot. I think in all of the roles he's not, you know, he's not Tom Hanks as an actor,
right.
but he's
right.
but he'll do anything, and he's funny, and he'll yeah. he'll make fun of himself. And I think that if they did a show that's, you know, released weekly, we'll eat that up.
Right.
Checking him out, it's, you know, it's not Tom Hiddleston type, but you'll definitely right. be looking forward to each week and see what dumb thing he does next or whatever happens. But
right.
Where do they go with that story, though? Is it like, yeah. do they redeem him? Do they just go further down that road? What, I mean, there's, right. I don't know.
That's the whole thing. Like, who's he work? Now, apparently the two agents that show up at the end of the show have also been signed to his show. So the blonde and the other guy that are in the post-credit scene with him are part of the show. So is it like an offshoot of the Suicide? Like, what's he doing in the show? Like, that's the whole thing. It can't really be Suicide Squad because he's doesn't have the whole team.
Right.
So, but is he working like covertly for these two agents? Like, you don't necessarily know what he's going to be doing. So, be interested in this. And, you know, again, it's all written by James Gunn. So,
yeah.
Who knows? But.
What did you think of Amanda Waller?
Well, I thought she was just Amanda Waller. I mean, she's the same as she always is, right?
Yeah. Well, she in the first one, she was a dink in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, still the same here.
And she's still the same. She's the same in the comics. You know, she's ultimately like trying to save America or the world, but her methods are very questionable always.
Right.
So,
but I thought like Viola Davis, I think
she's great though.
She just brings such credibility to both movies.
Right.
You know, and what she does.
Right. It's kind of like if you have Morgan Freeman or somebody in a movie, it's like, oh, it's just a better movie because.
Yeah, you feel like it's like, imagine if you took her out of the first one.
I mean, that's kind of like what Sylvester Stallone does, you know, for this one. But
but if you took her out of the first one, you're like, because I really liked her in the first, like when she lights up the room and kills all those people, and then Flag, as they're walking out, Flag's like, hey, I'm not judging. He's like, I've buried some of my mistakes too, you know, and you're just like, oh, these guys, even Flag, like that, you know. But
they're not role models by any means.
No.
But she's like, you know, they're like, would you really like arrest his daughter? And she's like, you have no idea what I'll do.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Because even her own team was kind of like, oh man, we're going way too far.
I don't want to say I didn't like, but there were a lot of similarities in story between the first one and the second one. And that's one that I had here. It's like how they dealt with Bloodsport and Deadshot.
Right.
And it was very much the same. Like they both, they leveraged their daughters. Bloodsport was supposed to be the replacement because Will Smith didn't come back.
Right.
But it's like the fact that it was so dead on, you're like, did you have to do that? Now that doesn't take away from the entertainment of the movie, but it is like there are some similarities, very much like King Shark, Killer Croc,
right?
You know, Starfish and Chantress, they're both like mind manipulators. They're both supposed to be doing, you're like, could you try to have done something a little different here? Right. But it's that those are some of the Harley and Harley, she's in both,
right? Well, and then, what'd you think of Starro? Like, that's where Lydia checked out. She's like, you know, at the end of the day, she's like, you know, I didn't like that movie. And I'm like, why? And she's like, the starfish, it was so stupid. And it's like, but that's a character. But you know, she doesn't know that.
Right.
She doesn't know that. You know what I mean? It's like, she's just like, oh, it's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You know, it's like this, this stupid giant starfish.
No.
But even when you, like, when I heard that Starro was going to be the villain, because even in the comics, it's a stupid character. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, when I heard that, oh, it's going to be Starro, I was kind of dubious on, you know, how it was going to play out. And, you know, it does look kind of silly.
Does, but it's also gross, too.
Yeah.
And the concept of it is crazy.
Right.
You know, which is from the comics. And that, you know, mind control, and he uses the little ones and...
Just like the, I mean, it was just out of the comics.
Right.
You know, but.
But I thought, I mean, it was way grosser than the comics.
Yeah.
And I don't know a ton about him, but when I've seen him, he didn't look that bad. He didn't.
Right.
It was disgusting. The whole eyeball thing and Harley, I was like, oh, okay. And her going in and swimming around, that was weird. But
that was weird because I was like, well, what's in that eye?
Like, what is it?
But then the rats going in and just chewing up all the nerves.
Yeah.
Basically, all the brains.
Ask you this one, Mr. Let's put on our John hat here.
Uh oh.
where did all those rats come from?
Yeah,
is there that many rats? It, like, the rats overran the city. Where were they?
A lot of rats.
Yeah, like the streets
where were they?
Corto
Maltese, right? Is that where they were?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, if you gathered up all the rats in New York City, how many rats do you think there would be?
Probably not enough to fill an entire street like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But, like, yeah, there was a lot of
rats.
There was a lot of rats there, for sure.
Right. It was gross.
My whole thing was, like, can they breathe underwater? Like, I can't chew underwater. Like, if I'm holding my breath, like, I can't chew. So, are they, like, amphibious or what? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
You can chew underwater. You can't. It's hard to swallow. But you can chew underwater. There's a lot you can do.
I guess.
I don't know.
I just kept thinking, like, can they breathe underwater? Like, yeah. Aren't they drowning by now?
Yeah, so. Exactly. I just thought, well, like, when the city, like, flooded with rats, I'm like, where did they come from?
There were a lot of rats.
Yeah. But I liked the rats. You liked that whole idea, like, because you like Sebastian. You like, it's like Ant-Man. Like, you hate ants. Right. But then all of a sudden in the movie, you're like, oh, ants are so cool. But when you get home, one crawls on you. What do? You kill it.
They're like, oh, the rats are so cute. But rats are not cute.
Sebastian was.
Yeah.
He was adorable.
He was.
Got a little vest or something.
But if you get home and that guy's in your house, you're not going to be waving at him.
No, they're big.
Yeah,
it's like, hi. Is that rat waving at me?
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. that was really good. I think the reason he went with the giant starfish is because, like, I think he just wanted, you know, James Gunn's like, go big or go home.
I just think he wanted to tell
Polka Dot Man. He wanted that extreme story.
Right.
And, like, if I can make this a success, you know.
Well, and I think it wasn't supposed to take itself serious. Like, it wasn't supposed – it was supposed to be stupid. You know, that's the whole thing. It's supposed to be, like, dumb, you know,
well, it's Suicide
but fun.
Squad, yeah.
Yeah. And I just think he – like you said, he went for it, you know.
He
and
went for it.
If you're
going to
do all that stuff
– too.
Right. Why not Starro? You know what I mean? If you're going to go that far with Polka Dot Man and all that stuff.
Right.
My biggest thing was, like, Starro's not really a Suicide Squad villain. You know, he's more a Justice League villain. So, like, I guess, like,
well,
who could they have pulled from? But
yeah,
isn't Suicide Squad
actually a Justice League villain as well? Like,
well, and I can't think of, like, an iconic Suicide Squad villain, so I don't know who they would pick, but.
Right.
They are the villains, right? Like, so.
They're the villains, and they were put together to handle, like, if the Justice League went rogue or something.
Right.
So it's kind of fair, but, I mean, it's all fair in the movies, anyways.
Right.
But. What did you think? What do you think of the outcome of the budget? What happened at the theaters? What happened to, you know? Is Gunn going to get
another
shot?
I think this is not going to be a success overall. Like, it was the most. They said it was the second most viewed project on HBO Max. So I don't know.
League.
I guess
right
or Wonder Woman. I'm not sure.
I guess
Justice League would be number one.
Yeah, Zack Snyder's Justice League's number one.
So this was number two most viewed, but I don't know if that translated to new subscribers necessarily. And it didn't perform well in the theaters. So, but again, it's all COVID.
You've got to give it another shot,
It's got the COVID asterisk next to it because, like, what might it have done if it – you know, if it wasn't for COVID, because by all metrics, it's performing well. Like, most people seem to have liked it. I mean, there's some people that didn't like it, but
it
universally, it's gotten good reviews. So I think people would have gone out to see it in the theaters. It's just, I don't know, does he want to do another one? Who even knows? Because now he's on to Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And then he's supposed to come back to DC and do whatever. I mean, he's doing Peacemaker. So,
now is Peacemaker a show or a movie?
It's a show.
Okay, cool.
It's like 8-episode show or something like that. I don't know if they want to go back to the Suicide Squad well again. I'm not really sure. I don't know. But, ultimately, I don't think it's going to be financially successful for them, you know.
Right.
Probably won't lose money, but, I mean, it's not going to be a big win for them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they might make their money back, judging by the numbers they have now. Right. How many of these movies get re-released when, you know, the pandemic's a distant memory? You know, like, go and see what you couldn't, you know, see it with a big crowd. Let's, you know, I do see that happening in a year or two.
Maybe, though, because then, have people seen it enough times that they are going to want to go back out to the theater and see it again?
You depends know, on how they market it. Like, experience it for the, you know, with the big group, the way it should be seen, blah, 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 whatever.
I'll watch it again. And, you know, I say this, and I haven't rewatched Wonder Woman or Justice League. But I will rewatch this movie again.
I will watch this.
When Lydia's one day when she's not here, because she didn't like it enough that she wants to watch it again. But one day when I'm sitting here in the afternoon and I don't have anything to watch, I'll probably kick it back on and watch it again. Because I thought it was fun. You know, it had a lot of scenes that I liked. It was a pretty good home theater movie when it comes to that. I mean,
I actually have the
sound
notes
was
on
pretty
that.
Good. Yeah. Yep. So it was pretty good for that. So I'll crank it up again and watch it, you know, another time. I don't do that often. I don't know if that says it's a really great movie. I don't think it is, but it was entertaining enough that I definitely want to.
I definitely want to
watch it again. You know,
Joe hasn't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to watching it again with him.
Right.
I would definitely watch it again. Obviously, I've watched Suicide Squad again, the first one.
Right.
So I watch it all the time. I enjoy
it. You, like I said, I'm not a big rewatcher. I don't watch a lot of things multiple times too often. Unless it's Star Wars or something.
I tried doing Wonder Woman 84 again. Can't.
I don't know if I can.
Can't.
I kind of want to.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Meg enjoyed it. We enjoyed it on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But I think that was like the hype of Christmas Day.
I kind of wanted to watch it again because I didn't think it could be as bad as I thought it was. But I watched it again
and I'm like, man, this just does not play well.
And then you just wonder where that went wrong because
I'm gonna
everybody's
have to give
the
it a
same.
Little more time. But
everybody's the same. Patty Jenkins is the same. Gal Gadot's the same. Yeah. Chris Pine's the same. And it's like, where did this one go wrong when the first one was so right? You know what I mean? If loving you was wrong, DJ,
I know
be right. But you know, again, and I had a couple of issues with the first one at the end.
At the end,
But all in all, it was a great movie. But the second one, I don't know. I just don't think it was good. And
I get
how do you get the same people together, and you can't? I guess it's hard to replicate. You can't always replicate something that's good, but.
I'll have to listen to I did like it. I liked Wonder Woman even more after talking to Meg about it, and 84 that is. I liked it even more. So I'd have to probably, but when I just sit down to watch it, I'm just like, it's just not grabbing me, and the rewatchability just isn't there. And Justice League, I felt like the Snyder Cut. I love watching that over. The problem is it's 4 hours, so you can only do like segments at a time. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, let's watch. That's what I like about that. You can watch chapters if you want.
Right.
And they're, you know, 40 minutes.
Just watch chapter one, yeah.
Yeah, bang out a chapter here and there. So you get some rewatchability there. And I'm sure that's helping HBO Max's numbers too, because much like on YouTube, it's like we get a view whether you watch our podcast for 5 minutes or the entire – this, you know, 2+ hours, we get a view. So I'm sure HBO Max is like, another view. They watch a chapter. All right. Anything else? Suicide Squad?
No, I don't think so. I think, like I said, it's fun. I definitely recommend it.
Of
course, if you're listening this far, you've probably already seen it anyways.
Right.
But,
excuse me. But
or you just don't care.
Or you don't care. You're on a long drive.
Right.
You're like, Oh, you ever been at the end of a podcast and a long drive and you're like, don't stop talking? I don't want to have to find another podcast.
I've got miles to go before I sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. That'll do it. Sorry if you're on a long drive.
Yeah.
We're out of here. I got to get some dinner in me. How about you?
Yeah, me too. I'm hungry.
All right. Till next week. Big week next week. Again, we got What If, Titans, and Bad Batch.
Yep.
Another big show next week. This was a big one. We're going almost 2.5 hours this week, John.
Yep.
What a week. All right. Till next week. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care.
Let's get them into the store so they can find out what's breaking.
Yep.
What enthusiasm.
Breaking two, electric boogaloo.
There we go. All right. Let's get into the store, and all we'll get in it, and I'll have a great conversation with Mr. Enthusiastic over there.
We do this at the end. That could be an outtake.
We should do this.
It's like, you want my most enthusiasm at the end of the day.
Yeah, but we can't open with that because we don't know what we've said yet.
I know, but so it's a conundrum.
We're not professionals. we haven't perfected time travel yet.
It's a puzzle wrapped in an enigma.
Yeah, exactly.